please go to Stakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
I think we all know there are a lot of shady characters in this.
Can I say something, Richard? Because he
sure,
earlier
sure.
He was saying if you're offended by something like a word, then that's on you. This is on you too for being offended by what other people say about people.
No, I'm not offended. I'm saying it discredits his work. He's saying that like his base.
Yeah, but
his
why
work
do you
based...
even care?
What?
About his, I mean, why do you even care? I mean,
why
he wants
I
to
care?
Destroy
why
his own
wouldn't
work.
He care, it
doesn't
think
make sense.
Ab is promoting this work as some great work, and it's like groundbreaking, all this shit. But like this guy.
Okay. Mark. So I've talked to Hoi Polloi twice, maybe three times, and so. What I remember is that he spent so much time, he even recreated the model of Manhattan with all the planes and trying to get this the planes in synchronization with the camera. So this is the guy who's done a lot of work, you know, some of which might not be right, but most of it, I would suggest
that was malicious. Is. What he did to Brian Stavely was a malicious attack. After
well,
he could have corrected
okay,
himself.
Okay, but I don't know enough about that. But I'm just trying to give you a bit of background of what I know, what little I know of Hoi Polloi. Yeah, I'm just trying, to give a bit, bit of background.
I'm gonna know about Hoi Polloi. I've been watching this whole time. I've been paying attention to the guy the whole time for years.
Yeah. No, it's not to patronize you, mate, or condescend you. It's just to say that I think he was very committed to exploring 9/11 truth.
Sure. As am I, still, to this day.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
Is he
me,
at?
Too, me too, mate. I don't know where Hoi Polloi is at the minute, but I'm here.
I'm not here to defend Brian Stavely, okay?
And
because
I'm a guy
like John Lear. Are you familiar with John Lear?
Yes.
And he's someone that can eloquently explain to you how planes in lower Manhattan on that day is ridiculous, right? But he also has moon base theories too for you. And souls, he's a soul catcher on the moon, right? He got that for you too. So all these, my point is, all these people have a turd in the punch bowl for you.
Oh, okay.
Hoi Polloi's no better. Like that's, you can't separate Simon and Hoi. They're both, they threw their turd in the punch bowl too. So we got
the thing, there's the Brian Slavely thing, that's it? That's the turd?
No, there's definitely more. There's definitely more.
Okay.
Yeah,
there's more, that's like forum, like, it's kind of like, you know, they made a forum. They put out this information. So
how about his movie where he's promoting a missile? He's promoting that they shot a missile from the Woolworth building.
Who said that?
Simon Shagg in his movie.
He's recanted on that.
I don't know about that.
That was his initial theory.
But if you refer people to that Separate Timber Clues that are just new to this stuff, they're not going to be none the wiser.
It's a very small part of what's over there. The compendium of research there is very straightforward, that it's a media psyop. There was a Hollywood
power. There's a lot of great work there. I've looked at all of it.
The missile's a very small part. And you, yeah, he talked about doing another video recanting the missile, but he never got around to it. He may should have done that.
Yeah, he didn't, but he should have, and he didn't. And his definitive work has a turd in it. You can't deny that. You go right now. Somebody doesn't know any better.
There was his initial.
That's the complete story, right? They don't know any better, right?
Wasn't it just a
if they
question.
Go watch that, they're going to be.
But
they're gonna, it's going to be suggested to them that there's a missile involved.
Yeah, it was.
We know that's ridiculous.
It was kind of posed as a question, though. I think
he also says that the footage is real in there, and they inserted planes in the live footage. But he recanted on that too. But he didn't make a video explaining himself either, did he?
Well, this was very early on. It was supposition. It was trying to piece together what had happened. He's probably one of the first people on the scene affecting media.
I'm not gonna. I don't want to hold that against him, right? I'm not trying to hold that against him, like hindsight, right? Because he was just doing what he's trying to do. But like, he's had plenty of time to make a different one or like make it known. But he doesn't have a real presence online to like set that record straight. So normal people that go and watch that are going to be led astray. So why promote it?
I don't think it leads people astray. But I have said many times that I think
I agree. Right. You should be able to have enough discernment to figure it out.
Guys, there are addendums at September Clues. Whether you've seen them or not, I don't know. But he has made it explicitly clear that there is no missile. It's quite explicit.
I mean,
if
you can direct us to a better body of research and a compendium of deconstruction of the media than September Clues, I'd like to see it. I don't think there's anything that's anywhere near as complete as what's
archived. There's some things that are near.
Yeah, post them.
Like,
post them.
Gerard Holmgren, I'm sure you read his article.
He was before Simon.
Exactly. So I'm saying he laid it out clear and perfect for you before they even did it. So that's not like it's right there. He laid it out simple and plain as day for you.
Can you say that
in the article if you read him?
Who was the guy?
There's other people. Gerard Holmgren.
I think he's gone.
The Let's Roll forum. Like, now I know a lot of people, there's controversy around that, but there's plenty of good information on that forum too, if you have enough discernment to pick out.
Mark, why, I'm just curious, we had a bit of a musical interlude there. Hey, mate. Mark, are we on the same side?
Of course. Like, I don't, like, I, they do a lot of good, there's a lot of good research over there, right? But I
no,
just
I'm
think
not, I'm not defending September Clues. Just
that's
stop.
Obviously ridiculous.
Stop. I'm just saying that we're all on the same side here, so we should be pointing our cannons at the assholes, the parasites that be, you know? We have different researchers. You've met some wonderful researchers tonight. FMJ, also, I think you mentioned it as well. Jan Erik, you know, some real smart minds like you. Yeah. But does that mean that we should attack each other?
Ironic that you say that, right? Because I'm talking about them attacking someone for no reason, basically, right? Like, he's calling him a fake person. He's saying he's not a real human being.
I'm on the board right now. Yeah, but I'm on the board right now. You haven't, like, sent any links, and nobody actually knows.
That we're not going to talk. We're not, like, Ab will tell you. Tim will tell you what I'm telling you is 100% legit, right? Okay?
Well,
I can't find it right now.
I'm just
it's
saying.
On Clues
like,
forum, if they maybe they erased it, but it's
there's also
like,
post.
I'm not making all of this. We're not going
Mark,
I will put it in there later, okay?
I'm with you on the point about Brian. I was around for that time, and I thought that dissection of Brian's photographs and the buttons on his shirt and all that nonsense was kind of silly. But they had issues with Brian for a little while before that. He was very intense when he came on the forum, and they busted him about his grammar and all this kind of stuff. And
exactly.
There was some back and forth, and it wasn't just, you know, I think it was more of a personality clash and an ego. And I felt like Hoy made a mistake at that time.
This
Mandela effect stuff, though. What do we do with this?
He's going to say he's fake, though. He's a real person.
Hold on, Mark.
He came out with a video shortly thereafter with a newspaper and him walking around his apartment and the day of the news and all that kind of stuff. But what do we do with this Mandela effect stuff, though? That's important.
Like I said, if I understand if Hoy was suspicious of him and he wanted to just create his distance from him, but he didn't have to go full retard, right? You never go full retard. He went full retard. That's the problem here. Like, everyone loses control.
Hey,
you have spouts, right? You go back and forth. But to call someone fake and you're the one that's supposed to be the victim guy, that's a huge blunder, bro. You should have just shut your mouth and not said anything. because you're talking about, oh, we want to keep credibility on our forum.
Okay.
Well, you just lost all credibility by calling this guy fake, who's one of your biggest supporters. So people are going to look to his website.
And so why are you
okay,
on
okay,
here?
Okay,
I just want to know.
Why
okay,
am I?
Okay,
I want to ask
okay,
this.
Mark.
Why are you on this?
You must be a defender of the Clues Forum. You're asking me
no,
why I'm on here?
I want to chat on here about important things, and this is not important. And you're just... I left the chat this morning because you were bashing people. And now I'm going to leave it again because you're still
bashing
people.
That's ironic because that's what I'm calling them out for. They were
bashing
this guy for no reason.
Yes,
he was
but we're not about
you're
bashing
doing the
people.
Same thing.
Well, I'm
you're
done.
Doing
Look,
the same
I'm done
thing,
after
mate.
Right now, I'm done talking about Brian Stavely and Simon
oh,
Chat,
gosh.
Okay? And
oh,
whoever
gosh,
else.
Okay.
I won't bring them up anymore. I just
Did
thought
you...
it was that we're you're
hey,
promoting
Mark,
this guy's
Mark,
work, but he tried
Mark,
to call someone fake
Mark,
that supported his work.
Mark,
oh,
please, just could you please mute for a little bit and let other members say what they want to say? Is that too much of an ask?
He was just explaining himself.
Exactly. You guys want to start attacking me now.
I
oh,
understand.
Okay. All right.
We understood this 45 minutes ago. I mean, we're smart people here. So that's
yeah,
why
it's a circular,
no, you're just
circular
mad that I broke it down. No, you're just mad that I broke it down. It's done now.
No,
I
didn't need you to
so
break it down
on.
For me.
It's over.
I'm not
it's
done.
Broken down for you.
I said it was already done.
So it's over. So it's over now, okay? Like, you heard my piece on it. They attacked him for no reason. It was obviously retarded to do because,
and
you know,
apparently
like,
it's not over.
Well, just for people who don't know, it's not... Like, you
exactly.
really just have to look for yourself. That's why, like, I actually went to the forum and at least tried to understand what you were talking about before interjecting and saying, stop talking about this.
Right. Exactly.
So I think that there's merit in what you're speaking about.
Exactly. I appreciate that because it is important. And there are new people here that don't understand the dynamics. And people need to be clear on what September Clues really is. And it's a good stepping stone to get to the truth. It's not the truth. Okay?
For sure. I agree with that sentiment. And that's the other thing. I mean, look, we can talk to Hoy and Ab and stuff, and they'll speak for themselves, and they'll, you know. So it's speculation. So.
Right. Who was in Lower Manhattan that day? They say it was blocked off. So we all are speculating. So you got to be easy. Like, if you're going to speculate, don't blow it. Go full retard and call one of your biggest supporters a fake person when he's real. That's a big blunder that needs to be addressed. Now it's
well,
over
was this
now.
In 2013? Is this what this was? Like, way back in the day?
Maybe. It might have been even further back than that.
Yeah. Well, those days were pretty, like, everyone was calling each other a shill back then.
No, but a sim, like a fake person.
Yeah, I know. But,
like, that's different
but,
than a shill.
Yeah.
Like, if you would just said he was a shill, that's, hey, whatever, that's your opinion. But to say he's not a real person, like, that's taking it way too far. Like, you need to pump your brakes.
But then that's where I need to see that actual forum post from Hoy saying,
okay,
I think you're
he did. I'm telling
shill.
You, it's 100% he did. Tom just vouched for me.
No, I know. I heard it. I'm just saying. I agree. Like, I like that, but again, it's better to post the link so then you can actually.
I understand, but I don't want to bring it up more than people are complaining about me still talking about it. I just want to drop it. Just take my word for it, all right? Like, he definitely called him a fake person, and he's real. So that's the problem.
Wait, hey, let's write it off as a mistake and leave Clues Forum for what it is. It's the best compendium of 9/11 media fakery research out there that we have access to. And in comparison to what Brian Stavely has done, it's a far more enduring and comprehensive work. We have to admit that objectively. So
we
let's
can see that clearly. That's not the issue. It's the outsiders, right? That's the
yeah, but
issue, right? It's
the
how the outsiders perceive it.
The chances that outsiders are going to be this is seriously inside baseball for the fake out community.
Well, it doesn't matter about us. I'm talking about the outside perception of it.
Yeah, they're not going to.
They're not for Clues Forum.
They're not going to notice it. This is ancient history, and you know, okay, so Hoy made a mistake once upon a time. Move on. That's it. Nobody's going to go back to that mid-round and find Brian Stavely and understand all the dynamics.
Doesn't make you question the victim's report legitimacy?
No, not at all, because I've seen it. I've looked at the report.
Okay, all right. All right. I've heard the victim report.
Yeah, so.
Yeah. And I think that was challenging. I think
best. Like, I think
and the pictures. The victim pictures with the cut and paste, the slit throats, and the barcode on the guy's face. And, you know,
more people from the same template. It's like, that's a reach. That's a stretch, man. Like, maybe, but that's maybe.
Well, yeah, look maybe. Pictures. Just go look at all those photos of those firemen and everything with the heads cut and pasted on. It's just obvious.
The victims don't even have a photo, right? Or a bio.
Yeah, and those were the candles, and I mean, there was never an official report released from any government.
Point is, all of this is elementary. It's pretty simple to figure out once you're really invested in it. But like, why throw a turd in the punch bowl, right? Like Hoy did. That's the big, just like Brian Haley did with the Bigfoot.
Big deal out of it. Nothing.
But he considered Brian Stavely a turd.
You guys
in the
are getting
bowl.
On Brian Stavely for the Mandela effect in that turd, right? So why can't I get on Hoy for his big turd? Is my point.
I don't think it's as big.
Stavely's throwing turds in the
and
punch bowl.
Hoy hasn't
I'm
been
telling you, newsflash. Simon Schett took a dump in a punch bowl too.
And how so?
Know,
yeah, like, what
did
he
do?
How so?
Yeah.
Okay, for instance, right? Those characters over at Let's Roll for him, right? They say that Hoy and Simon are the same person.
I know better.
The same person writing for him. Not necessarily the same person physically, but like the same entity is writing for them on the clues form, right? Now, whether that's true or not, I'll never know, right? But, like, it doesn't look good that you have the same writing style and, like, you don't talk the way you write. Like, it doesn't look good for you.
I don't find that to be the case after speaking and reading all of their
or
stuff.
The fact that he hasn't made a correction to his video and, like, look, like, all right, this is the new September clues. Like,
I had mentioned this before, actually, on a couple streams earlier. But my approach was...
I'll tell you why.
Hey, wait, my approach was to encourage, like, I came on the podcast and I said, it would be awesome if Simon Schett released, like, a new updated version of September Clues. And I think that's probably a better way to go about it at this point, because...
He's a from the years now. He barely pays attention to
yeah,
the site.
Yeah, it's all...
Oh, and that's the huge turd. Tycho's is a turd. Are you kidding me? That's a huge turd. That's what I mean. Shit like that. The Tycho's.
What's the
turd? Oh, let's focus on that. That's a huge turd in the punch. Anyone that looks up his shit, then goes to the Tycho's, they're like, what the hell is he talking about? The Earth spins at 1 mile per hour at the equator?
I heard about
whatever.
That,
like,
actually. That's, okay. Yeah, that's interesting.
Come on, man. That's a turd.
Okay.
I don't have enough
cut up.
Invested in this, but I trust that he spent some time
huge,
with observation.
That's a huge turd.
Right.
What I'm talking about, like, the work is great. The punch is great. The actual punch, the work, the September's Clues research on the Clues Forum in the work for what it was at the time was a masterpiece, right? But there's a turd in it. Hello, wake up. Like, you can pretend like there's not, and it'll taste just like punch. Right? But I know I saw the turd, so I'm not
sure.
I'm not sure what you're referring to. I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah. What's
the turd? Saying, oh, this punch is so good, right? Like the September 2nd.
This is Waterman Chris.
Nadir Lissette.
I'm Roland.
Uninstall Media.
Zach Covers.
Fantastic.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
This September Clues punch is the best
going,
right? It's the punch. It might be. If you just pretend like the turd isn't in there, then you can just block it out. It may not taste like shit.
What's the turd in the movie?
Can we move on to a new metaphor? Because I guess this is a live stream and it's being recorded. So after you say the turd like 100 times, okay. Just kind of give us an example of what you're talking about that poisons the well, let's say, of the Clues Forum research. What is it that poisons the well?
Calling people fake that are real people.
Okay.
Calling the Tycho's model.
And what is your issue with the Tycho's model?
For right now, it's not about my personal issues with it. It's about the outside perception of it, right? So, like, the metaphor of what I, the metaphor I was using previously, it's like, okay, this is some excellent research you got here, Simon. What do you have to say about the nature of the place we're living on, right? And then he comes up with the Tychos, right?
Okay, so like, the assumption is either going to be
The assumption is it's wrong. The Tychos is wrong, right?
And why? And how do you know that it's wrong? What have you done to falsify it?
I don't know. I don't know that it's wrong. But it's probably wrong because it sounds ridiculous.
Is it any more ridiculous?
The Earth, the Earth is not a ball. The Earth is not a spinning ball, okay? It's not a spinning ball. We see the same side of the moon every night, forever. So it's not a spinning ball, okay?
Well, if you... how do you debunk the Alert Canada thing with the sun? That's a thing. And then there's travel times between Sydney and... Argentina or whatever
it has to be a ball if the travel times are what you say they are.
That's a logical fallacy. I'm just saying I'm agnostic on it. That's all, because I don't have enough information to prove it.
Me too, but it's not a ball. I know it's what it's not.
The Tychonic system
isn't clearly
the Tychonic system.
He's saying it's a spinning ball. He's still saying it's a spinning
ball.
Dude, that's a huge red flag.
Wait a second. Can I just? Okay, if he's saying it's a spinning ball, I agree that it is a bit of a red flag.
Huge red flag.
However, but when I looked up Tycho, because I remember this argument being stated before, so thank you for bringing this up. And then I just looked into it. Tycho Brahe from the 16th century, he combines the mathematical benefits of the Copernican system with the philosophical and physical benefits of the Ptolemaic system, and that is actually that the Earth is the center of the universe. So it actually kind of goes in with the flat Earth in that regard, because it's
but he's saying it's a spinning ball, like the Tycho's model, there's a ball in it.
There's some things that I find really hard to make work with a flat model, like the polarity of the stars on the poles rotating in opposite directions. There's some things that don't fit well.
Me too. I agree with you. I have some issues too with the models. But
I mean, I don't agree that it's a ball either, but I'm not going to criticize him for the observations he's made and creating a model that fit more with what we can see in terms of celestial bodies and the way they move.
The objective was to get 9/11 truth. Initially, that was the objective, right? Is to figure out what happened and what didn't happen, right? And get justice. If there were some victims, whether or not, like, we need to get some justice, right? And figure out whatever happened.
My objective 10 years ago was to get rich and, do something. But
objective would be to expose people to the idea that the media is just complete fiction. That when you look at the news, you're looking at Hollywood, like movies. You're not looking at reality. And I think September Close does a good job of exposing that.
They're saying no one died. No one died, right? Do we know that for sure?
I don't think there's good evidence that anybody died.
But we don't know for sure, so you got to be careful, right?
Somebody could have died that was on the part of the demolition crew. He could have got.
So you have to be careful because that person has family members. So to just say no, just write it off. Is like insensitive, right? So I'm not saying that there is. I'm just saying you have to be careful, right?
Well, the problem is that with the evidence we've been shown for victims is so paper thin and hoaxy and cheesy and crisis acting, and it's the same handful of people that are terrible at their jobs, the acting.
All right, but you weren't in Lower Manhattan that day, so you have to be careful on what you speak about, right?
I'm not
saying you have to say that people died, because I don't think
you don't
died,
have
right?
to be careful.
I just say I don't know what happened. And I explained to people that the area was probably cleared out. Like, I've been explaining this for over 10 years now to people, right?
I mean, I think it's okay to have a position, and what makes the most sense is that it was a media creation. They brought the buildings down with conventional tried and true demolition techniques that they could rely on to bring these things down into their own footprints, and they were cleared beforehand, and nobody was in them when they brought them down. That's what makes the most sense logically.
Sure. That's easy. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out.
So that would indicate that there weren't.
You do have to have critical thinking skills, though.
But I mean, but that brought down the Seattle Dome or whatever it was.
Not easy.
Pick any demolition structure. You can go to CDI and watch demolition videos all day long. How many people die in those demolitions? You weren't there. You don't know. Maybe somebody died, but chances are the building was cleared. Nobody died.
Right, but that's different than Lower Manhattan. Come on now. Like,
it's a demolition site. Why would it be any different? They had drills. They had teams. They had.
Why would it be any different? Now you're just playing dumb because it's Lower Manhattan. It's just not anywhere in the world. It's not just some abandoned demolition site, abandoned building.
Yeah, but they stopped.
I think the towers were hollowed out.
Well, stop.
I would say that if you clear the zone, it doesn't make any difference. The concentration of people in a specific area is irrelevant since you evacuated the zone. It doesn't make any difference. If there is no one, no one is supposed to die.
I'm just saying you have to account for those people as to where some abandoned building. You don't have to account for people being around. Like, you're going to have to do something. Like, you're going to have to block the area so people don't come down there, right? That aren't none the wiser what's going on.
If you dig deep enough and you read the articles about the drills that were going on, the first responders that were there, that there was a demolition team that was on site practicing for.
Yeah, I know. I read all of that.
They were the first on the scene, and they removed all the deck cord and everything that was in the building that would have evidence of. It was like an army team that was there for that, doing that. So they wouldn't have had people cordoning off the area the day before, 2 days before, whatever, making sure.
I'm saying that maybe they did, but I'm just saying, like, why say no one died when you don't know?
Well, you might as well say 3,000 people died then. Why not?
They're not absolutely saying that nobody.
Because
died.
That's obvious.
Well, one of the things that is of tradition around here is that it's considered that claiming that someone died when they didn't die is one of the worst thing you can do. So,
but I didn't. Though. I didn't least, claim so. Anyone died, yeah. though.
Yes, but you want us
died.
To admit that there is the possibility that someone died. Of course, there is the possibility. But
that's
the more logical answer would be that there was no one at that point.
No, the most logical thing I
can
say is
claiming died.
There, so I don't know exactly what
but
happened.
But it's also who they're claiming
they
died.
They blocked the area off and, like, there weren't that many people down there.
Oh, yes, I'm certain that it's impossible to say no one died because you can prove it, of course. I would say that probably no one died. That will be the right way to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all I'm saying. Just say that instead of
yeah,
nobody.
What I want to what
crazy.
I want to
the people that
I want to make
that.
The distinction that how can I say that if someone died on that day, in my opinion, it was totally involuntary. So maybe it was a bomb that was hidden somewhere or whatever. But no one that wasn't supposed to die that day. You know what I mean?
Sure,
if it was,
fine.
It was an accident, and it was an unfortunate accident. But
I don't know all the details that you guys are talking about. I mean, I'm getting the gist of it, but even as psychologists, whatever, there are very few things, if any, that we know absolutely, you know, that we can say this is a fact. We can, you know, guess and talk about it and have conjecture. How many things can you really say, put down on paper and say, this is a fact? I know this for a fact. Many.
So Simon Shack distanced himself from the forum when people started talking about flat earth. Well, I distanced myself from Simon Shack when he started talking about spinning ball, Tycho. Okay, that's when it changed for me. I don't know. I don't care about all the other petty garbage about the grammar Nazis on his forum. I don't care. What he does on his forum is what he does. He wants to keep it how he wants to keep it. But, like, the spinning ball narrative is laughable, and calling Brian Stavely a him is laughable. So that's it. He's fried as far as I'm concerned. It's over with. I don't need him to hold my hand as far as no planes on 9/11. It's obvious. Anyone paying attention that cares enough to look into it.
Well, you need it in the left. That's fine. We take what we need, leave the rest. I got no problem with that. I mean, the whole thing about nobody died, you can't prove a negative. That's a logical fallacy, so there's that. And one of the problem, not a problem, but the issue that I have when people come to me with these psyops and, oh, 400 people got shot or 23 kids died, whatever it is, what my point of view is always that you're making an extraordinary claim, and it's up to you to provide the evidence. And the news provides the evidence, narrative and pictures, and if we look at that stuff, and it doesn't hold water, it's okay for us to say, I don't accept what you're telling me. And so what they're telling us is that 3,000 people died on 9/11. I'm saying, I don't accept that because the evidence you've brought to me to prove that does not hold water. It doesn't mean that I get to say nobody died because you can't prove a negative, but all I'm saying is the evidence that you're bringing doesn't hold up. And I think that's good.
Right.
That's enough.
Yeah, that's all you need. You don't need to go and make these grandiose claims to get you discredited, right? Because that reeks of you being infiltrated by a mole. Like, you know, someone's trying to discredit your movement by, you know, my example earlier. And you don't have to take it that far. Or like, why was Phil Jahan and Simon Schacht even fighting in the first place?
Yeah, there's some history there. You can find that. You can find it, and yeah.
It's highly suspicious. These two should be working together. It's super petty. I read over it. I tried to find, like, it's just petty garbage.
Yeah, but if you were around for that, there were a lot of sketchy players, Ace Baker and Nico Haupt, and people that were coming to the, even like Alex Jones, who I listened to for a long time. It takes a while to figure out that, you know, these people are in there dropping truth nuggets, but they have an agenda.
Well, that's my whole point of bringing up the whole hoi polloi thing, is he's one of those people, in my opinion.
I don't think so, but I have a history with these people for quite a long time, and they don't strike me that way. You can listen to Hoi Polloi. He did a radio.
I listened to all of it. I listened to all of it, and I've read all of this. The forum's pretty much dead. The Clues forum is, there's not a whole lot new over there.
Yeah, they don't post that often anymore.
It's not like it wouldn't take me much, you know, to get caught up on whatever's new over there. I've read pretty much all of this stuff.
If you heard the audios
and
that he
Let's
did.
Roll, too.
College radio station where Hoi did the 9/11 expose. It's a like a, you know, almost like a documentary.
I listened to it. Excellent. Excellent. But you have to wonder, like, why would he act so suspiciously if he's so smart?
I'd say he made a mistake, and I'll write it off as that. Nothing, you know. Yeah. Probably
that, to a casual, like, someone like you, a friend, or someone like me who respects him would kind of give him the benefit of the doubt. Like, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, right? But, like, your normal person, that like, your normal skeptic that will come in, like you're like a John LeBond type of guy, right? Like he would eat him for breakfast, right? He would go and do some research, like, oh, so this guy, he's claiming that all the 9/11 victims are fake, but he also called this guy, one of his best followers, fake too. So how much credibility can this guy have, right?
I mean, you would have to have spent a lot of time combing through that forum to run across that little incident, which is like, of all the stuff that's posted there, that probably occupies maybe 1% of the total, if that. There's tens of...
All you have to do is tell someone that he wrote a victim report. They're not even going to read it. They're just right off a jump. Like, you tell them that someone's postulating that all the victims were fake. They're just going to turn you off. So right off the bat, but you're not, you know what I mean? They're not going to hear you. So
but what would be the point of such a person hearing me, if you know what I mean? Why would I ever want such persons to agree with me, try to make a point with those persons? It's pointless. You can make an horse that is not thirsty drink, as we say in French. Know what I mean? It's as simple as that. There is people that you can discuss something with, and there is, of course, 99.99% of the population which you cannot even mention the fact that no one died at a certain event. It will be logical, and I'm not trying, and I don't think that it's a good thing to try to convince anyone of anything.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I don't mean to – I'm not trying to attack anyone. I just find it highly suspicious that he's attacking some, like, one of his biggest supporters. You know, like,
I don't know. Some people are nuts also. You have to consider that.
It wouldn't take much for someone to figure it out, because Brian Stavely is still active out here. Like, he's still upset over it, regardless of whether you agree with him or not. Like, he's someone that, like, you know, obviously with him, Hoi Polloi's lost all credibility. What if that was you? What if Hoi Polloi called you fake? Would he still have credibility in your eyes?
Well, I will give you an example of that. Someone out here called me fake, and I consider that person to have a perfectly valid opinion on many topics. It's just how it is. People can do mistakes.
Talking about John LeBron?
Or... No, not really. Someone else thought that my accent
because
was
because
he's
fake, made slick comments about you. He's made slick comments like, oh, this guy's got a fake act. Like, I don't believe his accent. It sounds too much. Like, I'm like, are you kidding me? Like... Are you kidding me? Like, come on, man. I'm not buying that for 1 second. But he put it out there, didn't he? Like, a little troll he is.
I don't know. I always have the utmost respect for him. All of our exchanges are very civil.
He would plant that seed that you were somehow, like, faking your accent. Like, what the heck is that?
I will tell you something. Anyone that is trying to say that I am not who I claim I am, they are just losing credibility. I might be the more open person on that specific
That's what
form.
I'm saying about John LeBron. John LeBron's got a lot of good work on his website. I've read a lot of his work. But that's ridiculous.
Yes, but that's his prerogative. I don't expect him to be right on any and all issues.
Is he joking, Larry?
He's saying
he
nobody died, nobody got hurt on everything. He says that like no matter what. And come on, man. Like, people did
yes,
that
but that's
hurt.
That's more
he's
a provocation
troll.
Than anything
like a headline.
Else. It's a,
yeah.
it's a soft
right, but
calling
people
to say that
on the
no
outside
one...
looking in are going to discredit him immediately as soon as
yeah,
he
but they don't, though.
Wars
Nobody's looking in. Nobody's looking in, though. That's the thing.
Okay.
Yes,
well,
exactly.
Isn't that the point, though, is that we're trying to build a group here and, like, fight back? Or we just, like, you just can bend over and say, oh, it's over. We're just here to concede and just cry about it. What? Come on,
I would
man.
Say it's a little bit of
Let's
both.
Let's organize and get this shit turned around.
Absolutely no luck on that, let me tell you.
How do we organize? What do we do?
September clue.
What do we do?
We elect a leader.
I get it. Let's stop talking. Let's do something. But what do we do?
We elect a leader. Then we fail miserably.
Right, well,
and
how many people do we have in the United States?
Let's make some videos, Boogie.
How many people
videos,
do we
yeah,
have in the
Yeah, that's
going to
solve
States?
A lot of problems.
On the call, right?
Yeah,
now.
It will.
Well, there were a lot of people, but they've all, like, left.
Right. Well, right now, is there anybody else in America?
I'm in Miami, Florida. What are
okay.
we going to do?
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm in Ohio. I'm Where in Cleveland, Ohio.
A little far away. What are we going
right.
to do?
But one thing we could do is...
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
That was long. I don't mean to give out any personal information, but I think this is something that has been said before. I believe Linda Curtis is in Ohio, and I know people in Ohio from other servers. So. Maybe there is a way to put people together. I don't know. And if you did
if
get together, what
time,
would you do?
Well, I think we all need to exchange numbers, at least the people here in the States, just in case they do shut down Ab's platform, right? That's the first
Nobody
thing.
Wants to do that. People want to be anonymous. People, you know, issues with getting docs and all that shit.
I'm sorry?
People don't want to do that. People have privacy issues. They don't want to get docked.
Okay.
They want to remain.
Well,
anonymous.
All right.
Don't give a shit. Like,
go.
I'll say whatever.
Well, my opinion
okay.
on that.
Yeah,
is
I don't
that,
care. I don't. I'll tell you my full name. I don't care. I'm not hiding.
Yes, I'm with you on that. I think that if we are
I've already been
to use the internet,
on various discords, so
yes,
I don't care.
But as I see it, if you choose to use the internet, you renounce any type of privacy. So. Basically, I'm agreeing
I'm not,
with you
I'm
on that. Name. I give up my real name, my phone number, if you want my address. I don't even care.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm not scared. I'm not scared of it. I'm not... What does this get me scared about? Like Yonder was saying earlier, like death
I'm not scared of any authority or anything like that, but there are
people don't want to give me their number, that's fine. I'm just saying if Ab's platform were to get shut down, we would at least have some people that think like-minded. If things were to get extra weird, more weird than they've gotten this past year, right? If things continue on the path that they're
on, it's going to get weird.
We need
If that is to happen, the next step will be to use some IRC chat, go the old school way, and after that we all should get some AM radio and communicate via that mean.
Right.
I think Ab has also talked about using Telegram. I don't know, a lot of people use Telegram, no?
I have it, but I don't really use it. I have it downloaded.
I haven't activated it, to be honest.
Well, there isn't no categories in Telegram. It's just basically a big mishmash of everything that everyone is publishing. So I don't really like it.
And one thing
well,
we could
Ab,
do as a
Ab
group...
Ab is the first one that doesn't want to, that wants to remain anonymous. So
right. And that's fine. But we could form a group. Like, we could do, I don't know how many people that are active on the calls or whatnot, but we could do call, I know Dave J has called the Pentagon, Chris Kendall's called the Pentagon. Let's just flood their phone lines.
Rollo has an interesting story on that.
Journalist, right?
You mean like anonymous doing DDoS attacks, that kind of shit?
Yeah, like calling these fake investigative journalists at these local TV stations, right, that do these reports. Just flood their phones or their inbox with, all right, you need to look into this 9/11 hoax footage or whatever the issue that we decide to target for today, the COVID, whatever it is. But you just call their line until they either have to change their number or they have to address what your issue is.
I think 9/11, I mean, we're in 9/11 on steroids now, really, so.
Targeted attacks on people's phone lines, right?
How old are you?
Instead of protesting's not going to work, right?
Not at all.
How old am I?
Yeah, man.
38. Well, I'll be 38 in September.
I'm 37. Turning
37. 37 here, too. So apparently we are like-minded.
I understand what you're saying, but I think that...
I know. I stick with the young people. See, I stayed here because I knew.
Yeah, I mean...
I'm not young.
I'm
56.
We just gotta stand up. And
you don't
necessarily have to do anything stupid to get yourself in trouble. But there's power in numbers, right? Like one person, me just calling the Pentagon line is not going to do anything. If you get 200 people, it's not going to change the world, but it's like, it's a focused attack. You like let people know, hey, like your psyops aren't working. Like we know we have bigger numbers than you are trying to convince us that we have. They want to demoralize us and isolate us and make us think that there's not enough of us to make a difference. And they've been quite successful at that, in my opinion.
That's what I was saying. Let's make some videos. But then someone said, nah, what's that going to do? I'm like, come on.
Yeah, make videos. IPS is still on YouTube.
Was a video, dude.
Yeah, we can make a better one.
Exactly. I posted that a couple of weeks ago. I was saying it would be awesome.
I would petition that in the case of making a video, there is an excellent service that is called FakeoTube that is available, and there is no censorship there for all the better reasons. So
yeah,
I will stick to that specific platform, even if it's less popular.
But if we all flooded YouTube with videos, can they block it all?
I don't think so. I think that there is no critical mass of users that you would reach and that would magically protect you from censorship. You can be canceled anyway, so it's kind of pointless. It's a losing battle, in my opinion. So I rather use the platform that I know will not censor me straight away.
Like FakeoTube?
Exactly.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe the best form of, you know, attack isn't using their platform like YouTube, even though I think... Like, a guy like IPS somehow seems how to work around it, and he's still on YouTube.
Yes, but he's also saying basic nonsense most of the time, so maybe that's why he's allowed to do what he do, because 99% of what he's saying is borderline.
He's another one that likes to throw things into the punch bowl.
Who's IPS?
Yes.
IPS
is a guy that is having, exactly, his name is Tim Osman, he has a show on YouTube. Yes. Fascinating, yeah, very intelligent, nonetheless. I had the pleasure to discuss with him many times.
Yeah.
But most of what he's saying is, if even non-interesting, but like I say, borderline trolling.
Yeah, he's like an entertainer, you know, he's very entertaining, he knows how to talk, and he'll say anything. He'll consider anything, you know. He'll let his guests talk, and I appreciate him, you know, letting people talk and everything. But like someone said, he's like the new Art Bell. He's like the new age, you know, like anything goes with this guy.
Well, but I have to say that it's not the worst thing in the world, to be honest. When I was starting to be interested in those subjects, I did go over many shows, also the Art Bell show, which was coast to coast at the time, if I'm correct. And they were saying all type of ludicrous thing. And in the end, that is also what kind of sharpened my critical thinking.
Yeah.
So it's not the worst thing per se. It's just that it's good for us to identify that.
Sure.
So if not, most of the content they are giving is not interesting for us. But it's good entry-level conspiracy stuff.
Sure. And it's like there's something nostalgic about tuning in to Coast every once in a while just to hear what they're talking about. You know what I mean? I used to love listening to Coast. It's just, I think we could try to, there's powers in numbers, right? And, you know, it's like I'm saying all this, like, well, Mark, why don't you make a video, right? Well, that's just not my thing, you know? Maybe I could make it my thing, but that's not really my thing. But I would be willing to work within a group to try to contribute to make a better video. You know,
me too, that's why I'm here.
There's enough people here to where we can put out a better representation of what we actually believe in, you know, as opposed to September Clues, where there's some holes in there. And, like, not to say that, like, it's obviously hindsight looking back 15 years at his work. I think maybe if we can even encourage him, whether we could, you know, source a GoFundMe for him to pay him to do another one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are members here that are in direct contact with him. I do happen also to have his email address, which is probably public, so it's not like the guy is impossible to reach.
Even if it was all just updated with HD footage, because a lot of it's like 480p.
Now, there is an addendum. He made an addendum for the film, which addresses a lot of the issues from the beginning. You know, but...
I always thought it was interesting that those addendums, they have like 16,000 views each. Like, they really didn't get that much traction,
right? So that's the
problem.
There's
only a
problem with it.
It's only
like
a certain amount
people
of people
just
who've ever heard
only
of it.
Go to September Clues, and that's as far as they go.
I don't.
And
think
they don't
even
listen to even Simon's interviews.
Yet.
Simon
yeah.
has like a bunch of interviews where he's explaining all of this.
Yes, but it's a phase. It's like you watch a documentary about 9/11, another this about that, another one about that, and you kind of make the round, and you don't come back to that specific topic. It's like you have a fixated opinion, and that's enough for most people.
Right? You could spin, you could even like take out one part of the September Clues doc and just talk about like how all the main producers were like the first witnesses and the people who called into their own radio, news station.
Well, yeah, at the end of the first or second video, he explains that. He has a list of all the relatives of TV producers that
and I show
witnessed
people
the
that.
Second strike,
yeah.
or the first strike.
And I show people that and goes to your point, and it doesn't seal the deal for them for some reason, but for me, it did, right?
Right, which goes back to what we were talking about a couple hours ago. Like, what makes us different when we see this information presented in front of us? And
exactly. Well, it's not easy. And I think
89% of the public, right?
We've made our own training. Like, we went off and started, you know, okay, I'm not going to be trained by them. I'm going to train myself.
I think that it started long before we watched anything that was conspiracy related. I think that in some way it was always the case. It's just that we didn't know how to put our fingers on it.
Well, like I explained a couple hours ago, my father planted the seed for me around the first Gulf War when I was spouting off about Saddam Hussein at 9 years old, 10 years old, whatever I was. And he told me, look, you don't really know what's going on over there. You're over here. So that always stuck with me. I never forget that because I didn't really have anything to say when he said that. It's like, yeah, I really don't actually know what's going on over there. So I think seed get planted. I don't know what, if you can recall a seed being planted for you.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say that one of the things that stayed with me is that I was born in 1984. And the French-German TV was replaying the news bulletin from 50 years ago, so 1944. And it was obvious propaganda, because they were saying exactly the same thing, but the opposite. For the same battle, the same event, the same places.
Yeah.
So that was an eye-opener for me, that they were speaking about the same event in a totally different tone. And if you watched only one of the broadcasts, you would have thought that this specific army was winning. But if you watch the three of them, I was about 9, 10 at the time.
Yeah, see, I was about 9 or 10. Well, yeah, it was around 90, 91. There was a news clip of Saddam Hussein. And my dad said, you notice how they never let you hear what he has to say or give you the subtitles? They always talk over him and tell you what he's saying. So you don't actually know what his point of view is.
All I know is that
he
had moves. There is countless footage of Saddam Hussein or his clones dancing, and they had moves.
Hello?
Yes, I'm still there. But Saddam Hussein is a very, very interesting case because, like I said, there was not only one Saddam Hussein. There were many different Saddam, and probably most of them were not even in Iraq. So it's very difficult to have a grasp on what is real and what not about those characters.
Like the one they had on trial there, like they were comparing his teeth with like the other one's teeth, right? And they're like, this is clearly two different people.
Yes. And it's even part of the official story that he had clones.
Do you think that man was really hung, like how they showed him hung, or do you think that was just a complete hoax?
I think that it was a hoax. I really think that it was a hoax. But I can be wrong on that. That could be the real guy, and I don't really know. As far as Saddam Hussein himself is a media fabrication, and there was never no leader in that region that name. And it's just something that they showed me on TV and in books, and I accepted
it. I kind of find that hard to believe, but, I mean, and I also kind of, I mean, I don't know. I just, sometimes I find it hard to believe that they are hoaxing us like they are, you know, like, oh, like they didn't really hang this guy. Like it was a show, right? Like something about that, like it's hard for me to wrap my brain around for some reason. But, you know, I'll definitely leave open the possibility.
Well, the thing is that if, what can I say, that the world of the high-profile actors is rather small. I mean, the guys that can play the leader of a country or whatever. So if in that small circle everyone is knowing that part of the script may get you hanged, they might not want to play along as much. But if you know that there is a possibility that some poor fuck is taking your place and will be hanged instead of you, maybe you want to play the game a little more, if you know what I mean. So
right,
even if not to deter the other actors, you know?
Yeah, it's like, where does the LARPing stop and, like, the real, like, rubber meet the road, right? Like, with some of these fake shootings here in America, you know, it's like with the Jared Lafner one, like the Arizona one, and, like, this lady pretending like she was shot in the head, like, I have no problem accepting that she's pretending, right? Because it seems like she's pretending to me. But, you know, like there were people that were actually there that saw something, right? So is that Jared Lafner or the guy who did the Colorado shooting at the theater? Do you think those people are really in jail?
I don't think that those people ever existed, except in the mind of someone that wrote the scenario. But I will say also that one thing I can say is that ballistic is a very strange thing. So I cannot say that because one specific bullet didn't react or didn't get out of a body or whatever, the whole of the event is fake. I cannot
say that.
That
stuff creeps me out. Like the shootings, like the Sandy Hook thing and the Parkland thing and the Orlando thing, all that stuff creeps me out because so many people kind of have to be in on it. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it just creeps me out. But that many people
are. Not that
are
many,
alarming.
To be honest. Not that many people. About 50 of them would be enough.
Well, that to me, that's a lot.
That depends.
You know, to me, that's disturbing that you could get people to lie on that massive a scale, like right in front of your face, right? I'm not saying it can't happen.
But for them, it's not like that. They're just getting a new gig. They're not thinking philosophically or anything.
Yeah, yes, or the gig is even so good that there are different seasons, season one, season two, season three. 10 years after, you go back to CNN, whatever.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm Jerris from Geneva, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
That was me. Incredible. First time I heard myself.
It's just creepy, like the Robbie Parker character. Like, it's just, to me, it's just off-putting. Like, I don't know. Like, something inhuman about it to me. Like,
no, if you want something to compare it with, it's like in the movie They Live. At one point, there is this guy that is on the side of the creatures. I don't know what they are. And this guy is happy to be part of that circle and to have someone to be with and to be in the know. So some of those people, they just might be happy to be on the right side of things, and they accept the lie because they have been told that it's a better thing. And we don't even speak about the fact that it's possible that they have been mind-controlled or brainwashed or whatever. Maybe you can brainwash someone into thinking that their kids has died. And who knows?
Right, and that's where it becomes creepy to me, right? Like, to consider that Robbie Parker was like mind control, you know, under some type of hypnosis up there, right? Acting like a fool, right? That doesn't necessarily have to be the case. Maybe I sound a little kooky saying that, but it just, to me, it's just off-putting. I guess it's just as close as we get to the rubber meeting the road as far as like facing this conspiracy head on. Like an event like Sandy Hook just basically lays it out right in front of you. Like at least 9/11, it's like, all right, it's Manhattan. Who knows what happened, right? But with this Sandy Hook event, like they made it pretty obvious, blatantly obvious that, you know, like I don't think there was anybody in there.
I don't think either there was anybody in there. And everything was made to be identified as a false event. I agree with you on that.
Sandy Hook, they got, you know, they look like they bought off the whole town, or at least a good portion of it.
Like the Truman Show.
In order to pull it off.
Like
yeah,
the Truman
like that's
Show
very creepy to me.
But it's not really.
Yeah,
no?
The word creepy
you said it's not.
Interesting that you use that word.
There are villages in Africa that you can visit and that are supposed to be traditional and everything. They are actors, and it's the same thing. And there is nothing creepy about that. It's just a way to attain your goal.
Yeah, I guess, you know, ignorance creates fear, and then your mind starts running rampant with different possibilities, you know. I just find, like, even with the Boston bombing thing, how they have people out there, like the guy got his leg blown off allegedly. There's video out there, him, you know, like people with like blood packets out there.
Yes, and apparently the guy was attending a hockey game about 10 days later or something.
Yeah.
Like
it's like, wow, this is really ridiculous. And people just eat it up.
Oh, yeah. Well, they made a movie about it too, Mark Wahlberg.
And it's like to be a fly on the wall, right? Like, do you think, like, a guy like Obama or any of these presidents, do you think they're aware of the nature of these events? Or do you think they're just part of the masses going along with this stuff?
Since their responsibility are really diminished, they probably don't know much about nothing.
They can't. How could they? All their time is just reciting or regurgitating the information.
Do you think they're none the wiser than like the general public in regards to the nature of these psychological operations?
No. They know that there is something fishy, but they just don't want to know too much of the details.
Right. So, for instance, like with Obama, he was doing the photo ops after Sandy Hook with the families and all that. Do you think he knows that no one died in there, or do you think he's just another stooge?
He has to know, but he can probably not name the companies or the military unit that were sent to do the operation. But you know the basics, I think.
Right, and that would be what they would consider classified information, right? The information that can't get out.
Yes, what you don't need to know in the end. What is better for you to have no knowledge about.
Where it becomes spooky is it's all right there for us to see. It's not really hidden, right?
But maybe that's
super hidden.
I immediately called my mom after I saw the Robbie Parker interview. Like, immediately. I'm like, Ma, you've got to see this. This guy, this is ridiculous how he's acting. And she tried to make excuses for the guy. I'm like, what world are we in right now?
I know a guy who, you know, who didn't believe in the moon landing. And there are certain things about his, you know, his interpretation of the world that I thought he was on my level. And you just don't know. Like you say it's easy. It's not easy. This is why I was also saying like Obama, like think Obama would have to be like into conspiracy research and figuring out in that regard. Like people need time and invest time into this process to understand it. It's not easy. It's taken me 15 years to figure this out to this degree, you know, like.
Well, the cognitive dissonance, I think, is what people have.
Yeah, because of all
over, right?
The intense amount of programming.
But it's not the actual, like,
propaganda
of it, right? Like the logistics of 9/11, like once you start to break it down with the footage, like it becomes obvious, right? Like.
Yeah, but you should.
The difficult part
someone,
is getting someone to sit down for
say,
a half an hour and listen or watch something without like interrupting going off somewhere else.
Exactly.
Like that's the hard part.
And
the
then they'll have
meat
a
and
potatoes
bunch of it.
Yeah, and they'll have a bunch of questions and immediate reactions. A lot of it's emotional.
Right.
So
that's the nature of the operation. They trigger your emotions so you suspend your critical thinking abilities.
Yeah, exactly. And we're going from one thing to the next all the time. There's always something now happening. And 9/11's old history. We're like historians.
Yeah. So I guess it would be wise to start writing down your own thoughts for in case you have a family. And so you can pass on a so-called, you know, an oral tradition or whatever, a written tradition, your own
notebooks
on things, you know, that you want to pass on to your family and, you know, friends, things that you don't want die. Like now the trend is digital music, you know, and like I'm trying to get back into collecting physical copies of the music I love so I actually have it, so it's not just in a cloud. So I think it's also valuable to start writing stuff down so we don't lose it.
Write a book, dude.
Yeah.
I think that those recordings goes a long way in that sense, what we are doing right now.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, hopefully it won't be erased.
It's revolutionary, dude. It's also like communication science. Like people inherently downplay this. I don't know why, but it's like this inherent kind of maybe conditioned response to thinking about how communication and news and all this is organized, information science, like all that shit. What is data? What is fact? What is bullshit? And really, that only became kind of mainstream lately. And Trump was a big thing with that, like the whole fake news thing. But we already discussed this like years ago. And then the mainstream actually covers it, but they cover it the way that they want to cover it and the way that they want the masses to understand it as.
Right. They completely flip the script on that and weaponize the term. So now, you know.
Yeah, now like the conspiracy researchers aren't even the conspiracy researchers because they're just in their own honeypot.
Yeah, even the term conspiracy theorist is a trigger for most folk. It's like once, like, oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. So now everything you say can be ridiculed or marginalized.
Sometimes I do it to people randomly. I just started a new job recently, and I told someone about Flat Earth. I just wanted to probe and see the response. And I knew it was going to be negative, and it was. But it's like, yeah, good.
It's triggered. They're just triggered. And
like a lot of what I'm doing now is just listening, because then I'm listening and I'm understanding where they're coming from to strategically think about how to get around their bias.
Right. Well, I've been talking to so-called normies for a long time, and I've learned that, you know, your approach can go a long way, but it don't take you so far. It, like they say, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink.
Precisely.
So, you know, I get a lot of flack sometimes I lose control of my tone, you know. I can get a condescending tone or whatever, and I try to work on that. And but a lot of times it's a cop out because they just don't want to be exposed for having juvenile opinions on adult topics. So they'll just say, "Oh, I'm being mean," and then, you know, take their ball and go home,
or try to spin you right out of the room with their insane hockey.
Right, they'll just project what they're doing onto you and then hope you get mad enough to lose control, like I've done plenty of times in the past.
Oh,
you know,
so
it's up to me on how I react to all of this, right? So I have to take personal responsibility on one level. You know, I have to be able to control my emotions and either just let people go on about their business or be able to address them in a manner where they don't feel threatened, right? So they can't use that angle against me.
Yeah. I'm going for the comedy angle.
That's a good approach. That's a good approach. Because they don't see that coming. A lot of times you can hit them with that and they don't even see.
Yeah. It'll plant seeds. And then later on they might wake up.
Right. But here's the thing. I've planted plenty of seeds with my friends that I thought they were watering, but turns out they have not been watering them. And
they have pretty much
reverted back into, you know, like they're taking vaccines, they're voting for Biden. I'm like, wow, like you're taking it way too far. I mean, if you're going to vote, at least you could vote for Trump. I'm not saying it's the best thing in the world to do, but at least
don't
it shows that you're somewhat paying attention, right?
Nah, I think that's a bad recommendation.
I'm not recommending anyone vote for Trump. I'm just saying, like, it just shows you're not really paying attention if you're so-called pro-America, right? And you're voting, you're determined to use your vote, right? Like, you're not going to let your vote go to waste.
They think Biden is pro-America. They see him as Uncle Biden.
But he's clearly not. Trump talks a good game, right? I think it's clear.
No,
I think it's clear Trump is, but he's talking a good game. He's talking a good game for America. I'm not saying he's going to fulfill any of these promises or do anything.
Is he talking
groundbreaking
for America? I missed that.
Sure, he was saying a lot of good things. For instance, like when he's talking about, oh, we shouldn't be going to war. We need to bring these troops back. We need to focus on home. That's good.
But all of them have talking points that committees and.
But Biden, the thing with Biden, it's gotten so bad that I'm like, this is really bad. Like, this guy.
Well,
very bad.
You know they're desperate if they put up those two against each other. I mean, that was kind of funny, I have to say. The fact that Biden comes up and he was the vice president to Obama, and then suddenly,
he got the most votes in the history of election. Like, I agree. There's more people now than there's ever been in the country, but still,
people were just sick of Trump, dude. And
yeah, I'm not under any illusion that the election was real and that the votes were counted in a fair manner. And
yes, but if you allow me, I want to play a minute of Joe Biden. Just because I like it.
Yeah.
He's the greatest.
Oh, I love listening to bloopers.
If the bot would be so kind as to play in that damn audio clip, of course. Which he will not do, because we don't live in a world where everything is working as it should.
Right.
You can ask
what will probably happen is that the bot will start itself in a few minutes with the clip that I just wanted to play.
That's why you need people instead of bots.
Yes, but what I would say is that everyone that is still voting has a serious mental problem. There is way better things to do with our time than doing that.
Politics?
Voting in general.
Yeah, well, that was the point that when you said about Trump, like at least vote for Trump. I mean, come on. Like, I don't think at
I just
all.
Think if you're going to play, if you're going to pretend like your vote matters, like these people... I don't know whether they're pretending or they
yeah,
really
if you
believe
pretend,
it.
Maybe, okay, fine. Fair
that's
enough,
that's yeah. what I mean, like, not from our perspective, but from these people who whether either pretending or they really believe their vote.
Well, it's the lesser of two evils.
How you can...
That's an
how you
clear
can
example
Biden
of the lesser
for America.
Of two.
Like, he's clearly
it's not
a China
based
show.
On votes for actual anything. It's, like, to think that the American government based on
but I'm just talking about my friends, right? In particular,
democracy.
Like my two friends kind of like basically were saying, oh, well, Biden is the lesser of two evils, and I don't understand how they
that's
come
what
to
I
that
was just saying. I just said yeah that's what I was getting at.
Right,
he is,
but I don't understand how they
it's clearly he's like the all-American dad guy that served under Obama, the first president. He's got a pretty good resume.
Do you think he is?
Yes,
the,
he's like the grandfather figure. You can buy him diapers and you can mash his food because he can't eat it anymore.
but that's just his personality. What about like the policies that are behind his whole movement? Right?
Well, I think they're
like,
all
those
basically
are worse
carbon copies
for America.
Of themselves. I think Trump... I think they're all the same. I think they basically have the same rule book. They can deviate little.
Sure, right. It's two wings of the same bird, right?
For sure.
I understand the concept. It just, and I'm just saying for the sake of these people that don't know any better, right? Like, I just don't understand how you could be how you could pick Biden over Trump, right? Because Biden, he can't even complete sentences, right? At least you want someone that can actually read the teleprompter, right? Without making it look like they're reading the teleprompter.
But after years of just bombardment about Trump and how stupid and shitty he is, I mean, I think that, what is it, repetition, you know?
And I'm not trolling here. I whenever I listen to
doesn't matter what's going on.
He was saying good stuff. He was saying things that Americans want to hear, basically, right? Not necessarily good, but he was saying things that Americans wanted to hear.
But
right?
Also
so I didn't understand
amazing.
Where all the hate comes from. To me, it seemed like the hate came because he's talking about, oh, he doesn't want to go to war and he wants to do this or that. Like, I just felt like it was just artificial in nature, like the whole hatred for him.
Hi, I'm Baby.
Sending Tribe.
This is Lost Fighter Phallus.
I'm Nightly News.
Frank McManus.
Adam Miller.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
I thought it was odd that, especially like the conspiracy crowd, accepted him so easily. So I kind of think the opposite somewhat. But I understand what you're saying, and I kind of agree. But like, when Alex Jones kind of pivoted and just it was like,
Trump's
the guy.
And Red Ice.
That was when I was like, okay, so now everything is flipped. The whole thing.
Yeah, that was weird.
Joke.
The whole Trump thing, that's weird. It's clearly artificial.
And for years he's going like, I talked to Trump. And he built, so talking to your point about how many people like, the Trump campaign rallied for sure. He had that whole market too. Like those are the most passionate people, the freedom people and the Alex Jones demographic. you know, whether...
I think that they were in a very subtle way prepared for that for many years by the Alex Jones, Rush Limbaugh's.
Exactly.
All those crowds were preparing them for the arrival of that figure. So basically, without even they knowing it, they were already waiting for that guy to appear. So they already followed the train and helped as much as they could and really believed in him. Even when it was clear that... because, of course, there is a certain period of time that you can act allegedly as a president and allegedly, according to the official story, but after that, it's done. And even when it was clear that this guy was absolutely going to do nothing really positive as it is, those people continued to follow him, and they were always thinking,
like
that's new to excuse us.
It's just, that became very obvious.
Yes, there was an inertia to it. You know what I mean? Once it was launched, it was almost impossible to stop, and those people, they had to find something new to explain why it was not going the right way. And at one point, they were so invested.
The whole QAnon garbage, the whole Q thing. It's like, just wait, just around the corner, just wait.
Yes, but that was kind of the more extreme manifestation of that. People that were not really believing in all that crap were somehow believing that Trump was about to change something and that it was not possible because of this and that and this and
drain
that and
swamp.
This guy was exactly
right. But that crowd kind of merged towards the end. Like, it was kind of the murky waters there, like the Q crowd and the Trump crowd. At least that's the way they wanted to perceive it in the media, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's like, oh, Trump supporters are conspiracy theorists.
It's the perfect...
Or anti-vaxxers or, racist, right? Like, if you support Trump, you're just automatically a racist, right? And it's like...
Perfect storm.
Yeah. It's,
there were many names over the time. During the swamp, there was and it was just getting more stupider and stupider, and the more stupider it was, the more people were invested
and
in
then,
it, because
they had to,
and that is probably what kind of
thing.
And that's probably what kind of blurred the line, as you mentioned, is that people get more invested and they had to get to the more extreme to defend that position. It was impossible. And it is still, because people are still believing that something is about to change, but now it's 2024, and it will be different then, and everything will be better.
Well, I hope this summer is the end of this COVID psyop. For us.
It will never
end. I know that sounds crazy, but I'm just
the beginning.
I just really, they just put up the basketball hoops back over here in my neighborhood, so I think they're trying to give normalcy a try around here. But like me and Ab were discussing earlier, I think that they're just doing that to put the clamps down to say, we tried.
Yeah,
we have to restrict
in
you
a month,
again.
So.
Yeah, I don't think there's any reason to think this is going to end.
Well, except for me being delusional and hoping, right? Like, I'm just hoping that
but that just sounds like a very painful process for you to hope for something like that.
Yeah. It's a good book you should read by Mark Manson. It's called Everything is Fucked. A book about hope.
I know. I've been told by someone before that hope is a delusion of the irresponsible.
Yeah, I kind of think that's true.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
I think you're far better off doing things like, trying to work out how to operate the legal system and because I think nothing of the things they're doing now can be done lawfully. But sure, they can do it through the power of a gun, but then everything gets exposed pretty fully then, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I think I personally think they're a long way from using a gun. Everything's going to be done through a kind of legal trickery or what they call the color of law.
Well, that's basically what they've been doing, right?
Yeah, operating under the color of law, not actual law. And so I think this, rather than hope, I think the idea is to have a look at, guys like Christian Remedy at Law and Know Your Rights.
Well, for this whole year, I've been operating basically like as if, normal. I just avoid places. I don't go into places where I have to wear a mask. Like, I can count on one hand how many times I've worn a mask this whole year.
Yes, same. Yeah.
So, you know,
In our country, for example, you can simply say, I have a medical exemption, and there's just nothing anyone can do about it. Not a policeman, not anything.
That's basically what I say if anyone says anything to me. And I've only had one issue in the store where they kicked me out, and that was several months ago.
But when
the cops came, they called the cops on me, but the cops were in full agreement with me. They were just like, but you still got to leave.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
Right, and that's all right.
People are entitled to do what they like in their own shop, aren't they?
Sure, In some cases,
they're not, but it's in the main, they're, you know, everyone's entitled to work out who they want to do business with.
Right, and I don't want to be somewhere where I'm not wanted, so
no.
That won't be an issue. You know, there's different ways I can go about it, and I've been okay this whole year. I guess I'm hoping that they don't revert, like for instance, like the basketball hoops in my neighborhood, they ripped them down. They've been down a whole year. They just put them up a couple of weeks ago. So I'm just hoping that they don't tear them back down, right?
And lock the gates on the court. I remember when they closed the parks and even some of the like walkways and stuff last year. That was so ridiculous.
Yeah. So I just hope that part's over, right? Like I don't see any
reason to think that that's over.
Me neither.
Well, it's over here right now. Like I can go to the park.
Yeah, but it's just going to be, you know, it's just part of the torture, isn't it? That's just straight out of torture 101, I think.
Yeah, you might. Your city might just then become the example of.
Blue area. People around here are virtue signaling with their mask, like they're getting paid for it. So, my particular area. Like, they're really cautious about it, you know? Like, people, like, all the shops around here, you have to have a mask. But there's a few shops that I know I can go in that I've, you know, been to for a long time that they don't give me a hard time. So that's just where I shop. And
I'm in Ontario.
I hate to admit it, but I've done a lot of shopping on Amazon this year, too.
Yeah, we all have. Yeah.
So
I'm where Ab lives in Ontario. And it's one of the highest, like, controlled areas of this entire, like, you know, of all like the Western civilization.
Yeah, and like you in Australia as well, right? Like they have been pretty strict.
100%. Yeah, it's the believers.
Yeah, I should say the Commonwealth, I guess. Maybe.
Wow. So I mean, I don't know. I guess
because we are the example.
We'll see soon.
We are leading by example. That's what they are doing. They are leading by example, pointing out the solutions. And, you know, like, what are people going to do? They're obviously going to follow suit.
Absolutely.
You know.
So do you think the next step will be mandatory vaccinations then? Are they going to close their grips even tighter? Are they going to...
Well, again, the mandatory vaccination thing is a color of law thing. So, you know, the thing I'm following is to pursue the legal, you know, the legal options open to me.
Yeah, I really like this legal talk that you're saying. I think that's definitely one of the best.
You know, you just do what you can.
Yeah.
Because that's all. I mean, I think the key
you have
point
to fight for most people, sovereignty.
It's not even a sovereignty.
Not even
really what's happening is that in our country, the laws that they're passing are not, or they're trying to pass, they're not laws. They're illegal. They contravene our constitution. So there's no, that's not even doubted. It's simply a matter of most people are of the view that they should do it anyway. You know, most people of this, well, they believe it because they believe
it. So you don't think it will be necessary for them to make it mandatory?
They will say it's compulsory, and they will, you know, they will write some stuff and try and pass something that will have loads of 33s in it and 7s and, you know, whatever it is that they do in there.
No, you're including America in this, not just Australia and Canada, right?
Everybody, I think it'll be everyone except China. Well, the Chinese are just going for it anyway. So the Chinese people will have the most freedom, and the US will have the least. Australia and Canada, well, they're kind of hopeless anyway. They're all believers. So I just think it'll just play out more or less as you can.
Yeah.
I think it's, well, we'll see if I'm
and then correct. And then we wait for the actual effect of the vaccine to take hold, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, so as I understand it, the key effect is that it locks people into a very particular style of immune response. They actually tell you what it's doing. You've been advised about what it does. It promotes a very particular style of immune response, which is not your T cell immune response.
Oh my!
Means that you don't. Most people become immune through what's called the T cell immune response, and that bit will be locked out in favor of the producing the antibody style.
So the humans being born will require
I don't know if it's your offspring or not. I simply don't know. It can't be that effective because they're doing a whole lot of them, aren't they? They're requiring you to have multiple injections.
Right.
So it must take a couple
mask,
of days.
The masks stay, though.
Yeah, well, the masks stay.
Yeah.
So the, that's the other part of the absurdity is you're being told in an outright manner, oh, yeah, get the vaccine, but it doesn't help you in any way, shape, or form. But still people are doing it.
Right. That's the part that scares me. It's like, okay, you get the vaccine, but you still have the mask on.
And they don't guarantee that you won't get it, and they don't guarantee you won't be infectious, and they tell you that it's more risky than the disease, so that you get told everything, but still people do it.
They were
and by the way, everything is wrong with it, but you've got to have it, and you should have it. So people do that.
I don't know.
That's really odd.
You guys could tell me, but like in Canada, they really ramped up the flu shot before this all happened.
Oh, yeah, the past couple years.
In Australia we did that too.
Like, get your flu shot. Every drugstore got a sign that, like, advertising flu shot.
Okay, so it's the same. Yeah.
Same, yeah.
Fuck.
And you couldn't get in to see into an old people's home without getting a flu shot.
Yeah. Oh, and the people that I know that got flu shots were always getting sick.
Always getting sick.
They should be fucking immune by now. You know, they got the flu shot, now they get the fucking COVID vaccine. You know, you should be super soldiers.
I'm guessing, I mean, my wild guess is that the people who had the flu shot are the ones that test positive for the PCR test.
Oh, shit, that's fucking interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, my, okay,
But there's a speculation you can keep an eye out for.
That makes sense because it's all part of their control group.
Oh, boy.
Because they're all the ones that are going to keep coming back for more.
All coming back to me now.
Well.
Ni hao, Rolo Shinchun.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry?
Just Rolo. Listening, mate. Just listening, Frank.
Hey, Rolo.
Just listening. G'day.
Hey, how you doing, Rolo?
I'm a bit talked out because I did a big long sesh with Rick last night, so I just popped in to hear what you guys were.
I'm the same.
I've been on here all day.
I've been talking nonstop for 15 hours.
Yeah, I was listening this morning. It got quite animated.
I didn't. Once I got animated, I kind of bailed out.
Yeah,
I missed it. Damn.
Are you talking about yesterday
good animation
or today?
No, just about a few hours ago.
Oh, yeah. And, hey, look, I'm done. I'm not here to start a smear campaign on anyone. That's just been boiling for years, like, because I've just been lurking around here for years, and I just wanted to get that off my chest. But I'm done with it. I'm not on any campaign.
What is that word, lurking, though? Huh? That's the best word ever, I think.
Yeah, I've just been lurking in the shadows.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mean any harm, you know, because
I'm just making a pot of tea, I'll be
back. A lot of good work. Okay. I don't mean any harm, you know.
And I totally respect and appreciate what you brought up, for sure. And I feel the same way, pretty much. But, you kind of look past it. You kind of think about how everything, like, it's so complex.
Right. And if anything, I should have brought this up years ago. if I had an issue about it, I should have made it known years ago. I don't mean to stir up a hornet's nest, and you know what I mean?
I think you could still, like, go for it, dude. Like, fucking, like, figure it out if you want.
What do you mean?
Well, the people are here, you know, like, so you could talk to Brian Stavely or whoever you think that got scared, like...
It's not about him or anyone. It's just about, like,
whatever
I just felt
do.
That was... Well, no, I said what I wanted. I did what I wanted to do. I just wanted to hear what Ab had to say about it.
And maybe it'll be revealed.
People here had to say about it.
Maybe it will be revealed that he is a fucking... chill. You know, who knows?
Who, Hoy? Or Brian?
No, I was talking about Brian, but...
Well, I mean, a lot of people have thrown in that category already with the, with, you know, whether it be Mandela or people saying he's talking about Bigfoot. I haven't seen that.
I just thought it was funny because I had to search for it. Like, I was asking you, like, do you have links? I searched for it.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Yeah, I just appreciate the opportunity to be able to say what I wanted to say. You know, if people don't appreciate it, that's fine. But, you know, I'm just glad I was able to get that out.
That's what's great about this chat and this Discord, especially Fakeologist, too.
Sure. Even if he doesn't want to put it... rebroadcast it.
We all have our suspicions about certain characters and such, you know, it's like, it's all par for course.
Sure, like, I'm sure people might have been suspicious of me coming in here this morning.
Well, Rollo probably could talk a lot about that, actually. He's probably been through a lot of shit. I remember drama from Rollo years ago. But, you know, none of it really impacts anything in the present.
Right, but, you know, Rollo... He's always been there for Ab, you know, to help him, and he's never thrown him under the bus, as far as I can see.
Right.
So I think that counts for something, regardless of whether, you know, whatever
yeah, still around.
Issue may
That's
have.
The thing. Like, we're here, like, you know, Stavely's not. Pelosi's
right. He's muted me a couple of times and kicked me off a few times, but nothing more than that. That's only because I'm drunk, you know. And,
right, that's nothing. Sense, that's so. Nothing. Even, you know, if people were getting upset with me earlier, like that, I don't take it personal. You know what I mean? The little heated exchange we had, like, you know, I don't even really know who I was talking to earlier.
Okay.
Right? So,
where are you
I don't
from,
take
man?
It personal. I'm from Pennsylvania, but I'm in Ohio
Pennsylvania,
now.
Pennsylvania, right. Cool.
Yeah.
Quits official. Where's he from? Where's he from?
I'm from Hamilton, Ontario.
Ah, right. Canadian. A fellow,
yeah.
A fellow Canuck.
I used to be called Mark Manuel or Garbage Media.
Ah, Mark Manuel. I remember you, mate.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. You were always one on one of the bumpers.
I just heard it tonight. I was like, hey, yeah, I got it. There's a little
years ago.
Yeah, your voice definitely sounds familiar in that regard. That makes sense now. Okay.
Yeah, I've been lurking too. I've been changing names, trying to figure out my brand.
Right. Yeah. Well, I figured Lagana would be a good title.
I settled on Call It Quits, and you can call me Quits.
All right.
And they could quit smoking. I could call that quits, but I don't
there's
want
a lot
to
of, there's a lot of things that I could quit.
Gone are the days, Mark, of you know, it's 9/11 with all this COVID-19 nonsense. Fucking hell, man. Isn't that?
Yeah, yeah. I was glad I was able to bring some 9/11 spice to the call today.
That's we should be talking about this for sure.
Yeah,
so
just make it up
unpack.
A bit. Right, because I always wanted to talk with you guys about, like,
me
what
too,
you man. Thought about, like, the logistics of the day and, like, how they pulled it off, you know? Because I find it fascinating, you know, like, if you could be a fly on the wall in Lower Manhattan that day, you know, to see,
Have you seen the footage where the guy comes out of his thing and he just points it up at the towers and the second explosion happens without the plane? Have you seen that footage?
Are you talking about the one where it's cut? Like they got the camera on the,
no,
on the tower,
no, no,
and,
no,
it, and then
better. It find it. Yeah, the guy just comes out of his apartment, points it up at the north towers on, you know. And then
so we're not talking Evan Fairbanks. We're not.
No. It's not on Loose Change or Simon Shack's video at all. It came out later. Yeah.
Okay.
So it just shows the South Tower and the explosion just comes out of nowhere, no plane whatsoever. It was just an explosion.
I can't recall that footage, but you know, I've seen a couple of the old videos where there's nothing in the video, or they're what they call an orb. There's a little orb in the video or whatever. I can't recall exactly what the footage that you're referring to right now.
Yeah. If I can find it, I'll put it in the show notes, all right? The last right. Show notes.
Or are you under the impression that they on the ground footage from that day, or is it all computer generated?
It just seemed like a young kid came out and pointed their camera up just at the opportune time and caught some footage of the explosion without the plane. I don't know. Yeah.
So in that regard, if that footage is to be like believed as legit, then there were people down there, right?
This guy was fair way away. He was probably a block or two away, and
he wasn't in New Jersey. He would still be in Lower Manhattan, though, right?
Check it out. Let's see if I can find it for you. It's fantastic.
Do you think it's real?
Well, it looked real to me, mate. And
sure. I'm not saying it's not. I just want your opinion on what you thought, because
I thought it was
if it is real, it's that means that there were people down there, right?
Well, there were
if
people.
It's real. Well, that
there
we
were
just
always
got
people
done
down there.
Going back and forth about there not being anyone down there, you know, and how that's possible for there not to be anyone down there. So there was no possibility of anyone dying because there was no one down there, right? But if that footage is to be believed as real, then there were people down there.
I think
right?
there were people down there, and that they were, you know, like it really happened in the sense that an explosion occurred, and just like in a building, if you were in a building and, you know, the whole city around you would take notice, and, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily everyone be involved.
There was a drill on that day. There was a drill on that day, so the authorities had cleared a radius around that building on the night before or that day.
They would have had to, yeah, for sure.
Before.
Yeah, so there was a drill on the day. There was a drill that had been planned.
The FEMA drill, right?
Yeah, the drill had been planned. Yeah, well,
the NORAD.
I'm not quite sure what the drill was. There was a drill on the building about, you know, the building collapsing plan for the day.
Yeah, that's the FEMA team that was down there the day before.
There was a whole bunch of teams that were there. So we know that they would have created a perimeter around the area before the event took place.
Sure, and obviously there's going to be spooks down there, without doubt. It's
so
nothing to just to block people from coming down. But if there's footage, if the footage that Rolo's referring to, if we're going to say that...
Yeah, so that footage must have come from outside that safety perimeter is what I'm saying. Because if it is genuine,
he's coming out of his apartment and he's like right under the tower. He's filming the tower as he's coming out.
All right. Okay.
So he's saying it's like really close. So if he's in Lower Manhattan, then... And if this some chode is filming the tower, then it's not completely empty from regular people.
I'm going to suggest that that's not possible.
But they had plenty of
for that, for that okay. to be genuine. I'm going to suggest that's not possible for that to be genuine for the reasons I've just stated. For the reasons
I understand. Like the famous footage of the anchor below the tower before it collapses, right? And he's like, oh, it's about to come down, and they all start running. Like, obviously, that can't be real, right? Because they're saying that guy survived that, but he can't survive that if he was really under the tower and it's starting to come down, right?
And again, I'm just going on the fact that the drill had been planned, so that there wouldn't have been anyone.
This is proving harder to find. I saw it a couple of years ago, and you know, YouTube's done so many purges Yeah. They got rid of Simon Shacks, Septem and Clues, and
it's on there though. Clues is still on there. You can find it.
Yeah, yeah, sure. But if I do come across it, I'll remember you too, and if I can find it. Yeah, it's just it was very, very rare. It was 2 or 3
right.
years
and
ago.
You're saying it looks real, right? But Frank is saying it's impossible for it to be real.
Yeah, the guy came out of his apartment, pointed up at the two towers. The one of them was already on fire, and then the explosion just happened on the south tower.
Right. How far from me?
Absolutely no plane.
How far from the towers was he?
He seemed about I'd say 2 or 3 blocks or something. Maybe a K, I don't know. It's
so some distance away.
Not in New Jersey though. Like he's not in New Jersey.
I'm not too familiar with
There's a big body of water in between Lower Manhattan and New Jersey.
Mm-hmm. But think about the Harley guy, for instance. There's this they interview with
I'd rather not, mate. Anyway, go on.
But like, because you guys are talking about whether it was filmed and like. I would presume that they would actually have an eyewitness being on site with a news guy. You know, that wouldn't be necessarily to be faked.
Mark, he was their main man to get that story rolling.
Yeah.
He reamed out of nowhere and the both towers collapsed.
Right.
There's one and then the other just because the fire was too intense. I mean, everybody believes that.
Like, that guy doesn't have to be down there that day in order for them to pull that off.
But it does, though. I mean, kind of. What? Like, when you think about it, because he was on Fox News. Yeah, fair enough. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was, like, it doesn't necessarily have to be.
But he can't be where they say he's, right?
Why not?
They could be down there. Because people are saying it's closed off. Like, you can't have it, like, both ways. Either they're down there or
but they have, maybe they, like, you got to think about a happy medium. Like,
Down in Lower Manhattan.
I agree. They're either there
off,
or they're not there.
They're not.
And it was blocked off, so.
Like, because there's footage of these people down there, is what I'm saying. Now, I have no problem saying, oh, that's fake, but, like, you can't have it both ways. Like, oh, there's people down there, but it's blocked off. Like,
exactly.
There's either people down there, there's not.
I'd love to, before I go to the next realm, I'd love to, if I've met someone from the Carlisle Group or whoever planned it, come on. How did it work? How's the trick done? I was like, knowing how the trick's done. And... I don't think that's going to happen, is it, Frank?
Who knows?
If a guy like David Blaine or David Copperfield can pull off these elaborate tricks right in front of our face, then these people have no problem pulling off a magic trick with all their resources available to them.
I like the one they did down there with the crowd, right? And they close the curtains. And there's the Statue of Liberty. They close the curtains. They open the curtains. It's gone.
Yeah.
Close the curtains. And it's back again. And do you know how it was done?
Smoke and mirrors?
No, they were right on it. They were on a dolly. And they just dollied them around. You know what I mean? So the people in the thing. So they didn't even, because they were so amazed that the Statue of Liberty had gone, they didn't look at the background and say, oh, look, we're looking at a different direction. They dollied around 30 degrees and made it it was brilliant.
That's
it was
how they
brilliant.
Pulled
and
that
was,
off? Okay.
Sure that was Copperfield. Yeah, it was Copperfield.
Right, and that's it's obviously a trick. We obviously know he didn't make it disappear, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, and obviously it's not just him. He has a team of people that help him pull it off.
Fucking oath. And that dolly would have had to have been so steady because you would feel yourself moving. So they'd have to do it. They'd have to such a good
What's the movie with Christian Bale and the other guy?
Oh, The Prestige.
Yes, excellent movie.
Brilliant movie. Yeah.
So they go to show you the extreme lengths these people will go to trick you.
Fuck yes.
So, like, they have unlimited resources. So, I mean, in theory, so you know, it's nothing.
We don't get movies like that anymore. All the movies today.
No.
Oh, God, they're just rubbish. The last best movie that I watched was The Joker. Or Joker. It was just called Joker with Joaquin Phoenix in the.
Yeah. That even that is a little watered down a little bit compared to.
It's horrible.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that great. It's okay.
Well, I thought it was a pretty impressive move, but it was horrible.
Well, Warner Brothers liked it. $55 million, and they made over $1 billion. Warner Brothers really liked it. We might be getting two more. You know?
Well, some movies are promoted to do well, like a Black Panther, right? Like, that's clearly artificial. Sure. Like, that's not a great movie, but
I'm not suggesting that the thing wasn't an amazing piece of work, but it's still horrible, in my opinion.
Yeah,
yeah.
A depressing.
Yeah, that's kind of my take on it. It's like, I don't know. It's just something you probably want to watch again. Like,
it's a ripoff of Taxi Driver.
I'm not compelled to watch it again.
Really? It's a ripoff. Yeah. It's actually a remake, basically, of Taxi Driver.
Oh, yeah, there's Taxi Driver in it, and so is there, the King of Comedy. You've got...
The King of Comedy, actually. Right. Yeah, more so the King of Comedy, sorry. Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a combination of King of Comedy and... so it is that. That's
when
it's like
that when he does that to Robert De Niro. You get what you fucking deserve!
Yeah.
Like that bit.
And who hasn't wanted to kill their talk show host? I mean, come on.
Hey, when you bring me up, can you call me Joker? Can you call me Joker?
Yeah, the last 20 minutes of that movie were pretty epic. I'll give it that.
Definitely had something to say. I like movies that have something
to say. That was probably a message to all the talk show hosts. That was the elite giving them a nod, going like, you better fucking stay in line, Jimmy Fallon and shit.
Don't ask for pay rise.
Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. I don't like any of those guys. I like Johnny Carson and... Who was the blood nut that used to do late night? He wrote for The Simpsons. I forgot his name. Conan O'Brien. I liked him.
Oh, yeah. I liked his late night show.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kimmel, I can't stand Kimmel. I can't stomach him at all. It's pretty bad.
Did you watch the movie about the battle between the two talk show hosts?
Go for it.
What is the film called? So there's a film made talking about what happened when Johnny Carson was retiring. You haven't seen it?
No.
Talks about it.
Okay. Well, it just talks about the
battle for ratings? Is that what we talked about here?
What happened was that when Johnny Carson was retiring, there were two people lined up to take the show. One was... One was
David Letterman.
David Letterman, and the other guy was the guy that drives all the cars.
Leno.
JJ Leno, there you go.
And then Carson, and then Letterman ended up changing TV stations.
Yeah,
right.
And they all got
PBS.
They got huge amounts of money during this whole battle, and it's true.
I remember when Chevy Chase was trying to break into. Late night.
Yeah.
It didn't work. It only lasted for about, 12 weeks or something. And, Letterman,
It's a good YouTube doc.
He had it down. Yeah.
I just watched that YouTube documentary about...
Carson's Before My Time. I really wasn't of age to
Me too. Same here.
He was an everyman. He had a great voice. He had a great rapport with... No matter who it was on, sitting next to him, he... Yeah,
as a millennial, like looking at that, and I don't want to say that, but looking at those guys, like those late night talk show hosts from that era, they seem like real assholes, Like
I never got that feeling, but there you go.
Is that right? Your view is that they were awful, yeah?
I just.
Well, you heard the story about the price.
I think they're
Bob
better
Barker?
At covering it up now and making it very nice and family friendly and
or Ellen?
Politically
How about
correct.
Ellen? People are saying Ellen.
Hold on, the time.
Yeah.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content we're creating? We operate on the value-for-value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big thank you to AB for providing this platform. So we're here with Answer Soul per Day, Mark Manuel, also known as Quits Official and the Boogeyman. What were you going to say about Bob Barker?
I was going to say that, you know, he got in trouble for harassing all them girls on his show, making them blow him before the show.
But that was only when it all became Weinberg fashionable, isn't it? It didn't happen during the day at the time.
He had been doing it with multiple girls, but...
Yeah, but all of that stuff is a bit like the Harvey Weinstein thing. You know, it only became... There was a certain point, what, 2 or 3 years ago.
Or even worse, Jimmy Savile.
Where it just came, you know, everybody who was white, middle-aged, or a bit older, got accused, or they were already dead, of being accused of being a...
Sure, but now even Ellen, you know, the stories come about Ellen, how she's harassing her staff and treating them like, you know.
Yeah, but it's not sexual harassment, is it? It's just that she's been a bit of a bitch.
And she's just not paying them very well. And,
right.
You've got a crew to film from her palatial mansion or something when she did it from home.
Right.
All sorts of things.
I just know he mentioned something about these people being jerks hosting these shows. And,
oh, okay.
You know, like Ellen.
Does anyone remember Richard Dawson when Richard Dawson hosted Family Feud? Do you remember that? He always used to kiss the beautiful women and
that's before my time, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
He was in Hogan's Heroes to start with, and then he played the bastard in The Running Man. I don't know if you've ever seen that Arnold Schwarzenegger film, 1987. He was good in that. He was a right real bastard.
I think that's what it was. It's like back in the day, they were more authentically just the men in their civilization or whatever they were supposed to represent to the public.
The beta male.
If you want to
say
the male,
but now it's just washed.
Sean Connery,
James Bond. So they were kind
archetype
jerks. Like,
where he's talking about slapping the lady, like, yeah, sometimes you need a good slap or something like that.
All that stuff has just gone, they've just changed the whole...
You don't say that in this day and age of cancel culture with, you know, the SJWs, you know. it's so homogenized now, but if you want a real laugh, what's his name, one of the Marx Brothers, I think it was Groucho, did a game show, and his rapport with some of the guests is just gold. You know, the guy's a uber talent. Yeah, Groucho Marx, what a guy. I'll put it in the show notes.
I've seen all those shows, by the way, brother.
Marx Brothers. You should have sent it to the Marx Brothers.
Rolo, who's your favorite actor?
My favorite actor? Oh, that's a good one.
Come on, you have to say Joaquin Phoenix surely.
That is very... Joaquin Phoenix, is that what you want me to say? No.
That's what I think you have to say.
You didn't get my Sean Connery.
The thing I like about actors is if they can play good guys and bad guys just as well. So I would have to say someone like... let me think about that. I mean, someone who...
I like Christian
Bale
right now.
Let me turn the question back on you. Who's your favorite actor? Let me turn it back on you.
I like Christian Bale right now.
Right.
Can't really think of anyone.
Why are you talking like that? Because of Batman. It was so funny The Dark Knight. American Psycho. But in The Dark Knight, when he's talking in that Batman voice, when he's with the woman, you should be using that voice. You should be using your Bruce Wayne voice. They fucked up.
He really did a good job. He did a good job in all three of those movies.
Oh, good! I'm so happy. Remember when he lost his shit and they recorded it, and someone fucked up?
Oh yeah. I think it was on the Terminator set. His latest movie that he did, one of his latest movies where he's doing the. Like the Civil War, after the Civil War over here, I forget what it's called. Where he's transporting the Indian chief to his homeland in the old West. Oh,
Hostels.
Yeah,
that's the name.
Put
of
it,
it
in the notes. I'll watch it. Yeah, I'll watch it. What's it
yeah,
called?
You never heard Hostels?
Hostels. All right, I'll watch
Hostels.
It. Yeah, look, if you're recommending it, I'll always like something. If it's, I mean, Christian Bale, I do like. I mean,
yeah,
admit,
it's
I've got
good.
A soft spot for
it's,
it.
It's worth yeah. a watch. It's worth a watch. Mm-hmm. Sure. One of my favorite movies of all time is Apocalypto.
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah, why is that, why is one of your
is that,
your
is that Mel Gibson? Is that Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson, yeah.
Yeah. What it was, yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure if I've watched that or not. All right, okay. I've got my favorite actor for the very moment, Michael Caine. Ask me why. Ask me
why.
That was my next
question. Well, he enjoys the revenge. And in his autobiography, which I've read, he says, no, I have never seen the movie. I've heard it's awful. But I've seen the extension it's put on my $1 million house, and that's beautiful.
So I actually would have thought you'd say your favorite actor was the Orange Man.
Donald Trump. Donald
Trump?
I love that man.
He's
I
a good one. He's
man.
A good one. He's a good actor. That's for
sure. So I would have thought you would have said he was your favorite actor.
Well, he's up there. I'll put him in my top 10. What do you reckon?
Yeah,
and if he runs in 2024, then he'll move further up. I hope he does.
Someone says actors are gross in the chat there.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
well, they can be gross depending if that's their role that they have to play.
So is acting
Bill
just
Paxton,
professional?
Bill Paxton. I'll give Bill Paxton is another one of my favorite actors. Bill Paxton.
Which chat are you reading from? It says actors are gross.
I don't know. It looks like the that
General Street.
I don't know how to. Yep. Yeah, it says.
Tell them to come on the call and tell them to come on the call. Type in "come on the call" and tell us why you think actors are gross. I want to know why you think that.
Maybe he's just saying that because they're liars, like they just like lie for a living.
Well, paid entertainers. I mean, liars. I mean,
sure.
Is the glass half full or half empty on this? I mean, come on, man.
Right.
Or is the glass too big?
I'm half full. I like to be entertained.
But what do they say about politicians, right? It's just acting for ugly people.
That's right. Yes, that's true.
I mean,
I want to know what
Donald
stream...
Trump is no Mel Gibson. Yes.
Mm. Yeah. I just want to know what stream the comment is in because I can't find it on general chat or live stream notes about actors.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It says Ball Earth Skeptics.
Oh, Ball Earth Skeptics, okay. Someone's chatting in there.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's John LeBron's. LeBron's chat.
Actors are gross. Okay. And he's talking about Mark Sargent.
Right, okay.
He's not that unattractive.
He looks like he's got a thyroid problem to me.
You guys are funny, man. You guys are funny.
Do you see how stoned Richard was on one of the calls?
Do you mean funny comical or just a bit weird?
Oh,
no,
yeah.
Funny like comical, you know?
I thought you were going into Goodfellas territory there. Oh, do I make you laugh? Am I a clown?
Yeah, what am
you
I?
Remember that?
Like a clown?
Joe Pesci.
Oh,
yeah.
That's one of my favorite movies. That's one of my favorite movies. He's a Goodfellas. Casino is pretty good too.
Sure is. Both of them directed
because there's a lot revealed. There's a lot revealed in that in those movies if you know what you're looking for.
Do you remember what Ricky Gervais said to what's his name? Who wrote and directed Goodfellas and Casino? Italian guy.
Oh, no,
yeah, of course, Scorsese. Where he was up on stage at the Golden Globes, he goes, you know, he says most films these days are like rides at Disneyland or something, and he said, well, he's not tall enough to go on the rides. Because he's short. He's like 5 foot nothing, Scorsese.
Right. Yeah.
He certainly does a good movie. I thought the that latest one that went straight to Netflix was way too long. It was 3 hours.
Oh, yeah. And you could tell it wasn't. It just wasn't authentic.
The Irishman. Thank you. Yeah, The Irishman. Yep.
Yeah,
pretty old too.
I thought it was kind of generic.
Yeah, I didn't even watch that, and I, I'm really into film, but no, I couldn't. Even
the de-aging of Joe Pesci and De Niro looked weird. It looked, they looked creepy in it. They really did, because they were still like old and trying to. but they de-aged them to look young, and they should have got other actors to make them, when they were younger or something, rather than de-age them with the process they've got.
Rolo, are you familiar with the Boardwalk Empire series from HBO?
Oh, yeah, that's with Steve Buscemi, is that the one?
Yes. Yeah. It drags at first, but it's excellent as well.
It's good.
Because there's not a whole lot of good movies, like you were saying, but some of these shows, they still put the time and effort into them, like Better Call Saul is another one.
Oh,
that's a good show.
Yeah. Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and
Better Call Saul.
So was Breaking Bad, where that was the spinoff from. Breaking Bad,
I really
enjoyed
it. Right.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. That one got a little
he's
crazy.
A great actor. Apparently, he's in a new movie, a bit of a John Wick style movie. The actor Bob Odenkirk, Kirk, or whatever his name is, that plays.
Yeah,
Saul.
Yeah. I want to see that movie that he's
Mr.
in.
Nobody.
Yeah, I want to see that.
It's pretty good. Definitely. I saw that one.
Oh, you saw it? Oh, okay.
Yeah, Nobody. It is.
Yeah, I like him. I like him.
Tell us about it. What is it? A revenge flick like John Wick, where the guy kills his dog and he just goes. And...
Yeah, it's pretty much exactly like that, but better.
Yeah,
I would say it's better.
Yeah, oh, I've heard it's the same writers that did John Wick.
I never really liked.
I've never seen any of the John Wick. So.
Oh wow! You got to watch the first one. The second two suck, but
first
one's good. Yeah. Good revenge flick. If you like revenge, stories, you'll like John Wick.
Yeah, I just don't
kill
like
anyone
dog
who doesn't
killing stories. I don't like animals getting killed, but
I know, but I mean, you got to have a setup for a movie, and he doesn't kill anyone who doesn't deserve it. He's very methodical, professional, almost surgical, with the people he takes out. So Keanu Reeves, he's up there in my book. I like him because of The Matrix, I think. Yeah,
but I still think he's sinus. Signed a contract with you-know-who.
The devil, yeah.
Maybe now, I told you my favorite actor. I think the best actor right now would probably be Leonardo DiCaprio.
In my opinion. Scorsese's got a hard-on for him.
That's why I don't like any of, I do, they're fine, but even Christian Bale or DiCaprio, they were like kid actors. I can never take them seriously. Seeing a kid actor.
What's your favorite?
Christian Bale
movie?
Was a kid actor.
What's your favorite?
Yeah, Christian Bale was a kid actor.
As far as his performance goes, I would say either The Departed or Django are my two favorite performances of his.
Django and Chains or whatever it was. Yeah.
I liked
when he was real young and he played the retarded kid. In What's Eating Gilbert Grape with Johnny Depp. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, I've never seen that.
I remember that one.
Yeah, he was good in that. He really was.
He was really good in Departed. I thought he really
I've written it down.
Made that movie.
That as well.
Oh, you've never seen The Departed? With Jack Nicholson and Matt Damon? That was probably
Give me the basic storyline without spoilers. Give me the basic storyline without spoilers.
The Departed?
Yes.
It's based in Boston, basically like a mobster in Boston that's basically connected to the FBI.
Okay. Don't think I've seen it.
Oh.
Nothing comes to
mind. I mean, it's a pretty good gangster slash
mobster. Was that Scorsese too?
I believe so. I think that's probably the last really good one. I can't think of another one more recent that's actually...
It had a bunch of people in it. Mark
Wahlberg, Matt Damon,
Jack
Nicholson. The interesting thing about those movies to me is that they show all the crime families as being Italian or something. But
this guy's Irish.
Well, and Irish, but the worst criminals of that era were the Jews.
Yeah, the Russians, right? The Rush mob, so to speak. That's what they call them.
Yeah, whatever they call them.
But that's not popular narrative. You can't, they run
Sure,
Hollywood,
I'm just saying, it's interesting that they promote that.
Just ask Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
Well, sure. Yeah, they, everything's about the Nazis. Everything is like a Nazi spinoff. It's it's really obvious what they're doing. They're not fooling anyone who's really paying attention.
But again, it's constant reinforcement of the narrative that it's Italians that were all the criminals, Italians and Irishmen, as you say. Very interesting.
Right. But no mentions of the so-called Russian mob for the most part.
Well, I'm not even talking about the Russian mob. I'm talking about even in the time of
See
how long we'll have to wait for a biopic about Harvey Weinstein. I don't think we're going to get one of him.
Are you talking about Mayor Lansky?
Yep, Meyer Lansky.
Oh, Raymond Polanski. Yeah, he was.
No.
Meyer Lansky.
Go for it.
He was the most notorious criminal of his day.
Right. Or the Arnold Rothstein character.
Yep.
Yeah, those people were calling the shots for these so-called like Lucky Luciano was under Mayor Lansky.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not popular.
That's not the narrative, as you say, yeah.
No. Even in the show Boardwalk Empire, they have these characters in there, right? They mix in some of these historical figures like Al Capone, Meyer Lansky, Lucky Luciano. But they have Meyer Lansky as basically just like sidekick to Lucky Luciano, basically.
Yeah.
And like we know that that's necessarily how it went.
Well, quite the reverse. The historical record is that these guys were the most brutal.
Right. In shows, I don't know if you're familiar with The Wire, the HBO television show The Wire, but I regard that as the best television show of all time because they give you little hints into who's running the show behind the scenes. And I'm not necessarily talking about
the government.
Sure, as far as the drugs and how they operate in the cities and the relationship between the cops and the politicians and how all of that works. The Wire lays all of that out for you. And they don't really sugarcoat anything.
Who's the lead guy in The Wire?
One of the best characters in The Wire is his character named McNulty, and he was in 300. Okay? So I can't remember this guy's name, but he was one of the main actors in 300. Not the main guy, but he was in that. I don't know if you can recall that. But
no,
I believe,
I'll look it up. I'm just looking at The Departed. You say 2006. It was Martin Scorsese, and I haven't seen it. So The Wire. Okay, let me just go there. Give me a sec.
The Wire. I highly recommend The Wire. As far as television series go?
What streaming service is it on, if you don't mind me asking?
HBO.
Oh, I don't have HBO, Mac. So I'll have to ride the high seas. What's that?
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Chair.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Yes, we're having a nice little chat this afternoon with Mark Manuel, Frank, out of Salt Day, and Boogeyman.
That's
okay,
right.
So The Wire, the TV series, went from 2002 to 2008. Created by David Simon, don't know him, but with Dominic West, Lance Reddick, Sonja Son, and Wendell Pierce. So it's one of those?
Man, none of those names ring a bell to me, but like, I don't know. It's a, I know one of the main characters, you know, Idris Elba?
Oh, yes, yeah, the black guy, yeah.
Yeah, that guy. He had a main role in the
TV
seasons. Wood Harris, I don't know if that rings
Woody
a bell,
Harris
but no, Wood Harris. But a lot of those actors on the HBO series are interchangeable. Like a lot of them are on all the other different shows too. So like a guy who has a main role in The Wire, he also has a main role in Boardwalk Empire, right? So, but those two shows, I know you're saying there's not a whole lot of good movies out there, but if you haven't seen those two shows, that's plenty of good television that will last, you know, a good while.
You think it doesn't really represent what's going on? I mean, the constant representation of the USA as the crime capital of the universe, you know, is kind of misleading.
But see, that's why you have to watch The Wire. The Wire is 5 seasons, right? And in the last season of The Wire,
yeah,
they kind of hint at fake news. Like, there's some fake news scenarios hinted in there, right?
Okay.
Like, this guy basically makes up the serial killer in order for the police department to get a budget to actually go after these real drug dealers, right? Because the powers that be shut down their budget to go after these drug dealers, this drug dealing operation. So he basically made up a story about this serial killer, like, killing homeless people. and turn it into a national story. And this overzealous reporter got a hold of it, and he started, like, making up his own stories about it. And it got national attention that way, right? So then the cop calls the guy out on it, like, yo, like, I know you're lying because I made this shit up. So you need to stop it, right? So, like...
Can I read the top review for you? Can I read the top review for you? This isn't just a show about crime. This tries to show every aspect of life in a crumbling society, along with TV shows like Oz, Deadwood, The Sopranos, 6 Feet Under. David Simon's The Wire was part of a revolution, quality-wise, in television. Although it's very entertaining, it isn't just entertainment. This is art, pure and simple. The concept of this show was groundbreaking. On the surface, one might think this is a show about crime, but really, The Wire is about life and soul of a whole city, and Baltimore, they're talking about here. Every aspect of the city of Baltimore gets its share of screen time, and the way it's done, the writing, direction, and the amazing performances by a terrific cast, the music, the camera work, the realism, I could go on and on. It's just outstanding, on par with Generation Kill, which I don't know what that is. No wonder, since the same creative team was behind both. This is as good as television.
Would it be reasonable to argue that those TV shows lead behavior, don't show behavior?
Well, for instance, why it resonates with me, my father's from Baltimore, right? And, like, I've been to Baltimore plenty of times, right? Now, I haven't necessarily been to some of these bad neighborhoods where they were filming about, you know, and where they filmed on location a lot. But it's because they were notoriously bad areas. So there's no reason for me to be down there, right? So what makes The Wire so authentic is because they use, like, local people from Baltimore whenever they could. Like, obviously, most of the cast is, like, professional actors. But they put people in places to make it seem authentic. And like I said, like, they kind of explain to you, like, the whole process of how the drugs end up on the street and how things don't end up getting cleaned up how they should. So in that way, I think it's kind of revealing, because they don't blatantly come out and tell you that, but it's up to you to kind of read between the lines to see what it is, kind of how we do with this stuff. Like, none of this stuff is completely hidden, but you have to go beyond the surface level in order to process it all. So that's why The Wire is a special program.
Yeah, you've got the Baltimore link, which probably helps for you. But, I mean, I'm reading review after review. It just gets, 10 out of 10 is pretty much.
Yeah, it's probably the best TV show ever made. Now, does that mean that they don't have references in there, like, oh, the terrorism and all that? And, you know, sure, on the surface, you know, it is just, they're basically playing on what's in the mainstream, right? But if you know where to look, like us psychologists, you can clearly read between the lines, because these people know, like, the people that wrote this show, like, they know, like, you know what I mean?
So
they understand that it's deeper than just the surface level.
Yeah, well, from what I can... So it's no Law and Order or some shitty show like that, you know, where Jerry...
No, where you can clearly
look up where the Twin Towers used to be.
You know, in Law and Order has its own place, right? For people who are just trying to, like, tune out and just watch something halfway well put together, right? It, for what it is.
But I remember when the towers came down and Jerry Orbach looked up and said, look, see where the Twin Towers used to be? And I'm going, yeah, how long did it take, Jerry, for that to get investigated, if at all? You know, you're investing your time. Yeah, you know, I'm going, come on, when's the investigation of this thing? No, let's just take all the steel away and get rid of all the evidence. We don't want to investigate that.
Right. Well,
have
The
read
Wire...
the 9/11 commission report? Have you read that? I have. It's a friggin'...
Oh, sure. I that was a Christmas gift for me one year.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I think probably 2003.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah, that's when it came out.
At the time, you know, it was before I was really completely questioning the official story, but I was just kind of reading it, like, I don't know. I really can't tell you how, I can't really remember how I felt.
Well, I can tell you exactly what I thought of it. I thought it was just a shitty Tom Clancy novel. It made me so angry that this is all the best you can give us. You know,
now you have to remember at the time I'm 20 years old when I'm reading this, right? I'm 20 years old reading this, right? Oh. So basically,
you know who they wanted to head up the investigation? Henry Kissinger.
What's the guy? David Griffin? Is that the guy? David Griffin?
Yeah,
you remember him?
I remember
him. Wrote the refutation to the commission report? Remember that guy?
I
believe he was like a...
Yeah, Griffin was... I think
he was on Alex
Jones
all the time.
Sure. He, what do you call it? He's a gatekeeper type fellow. Yeah.
Right, but at the time, he's the one that basically, I read his information, his book, and that basically exposed the commission report as, a complete cover-up, basically, right? So in that regard, he was helpful. It was a stepping stone for me to, understand that the book that I had read previously is garbage and a cover-up. So I remember this specifically. I remember getting my permanent marker and writing lies on top of the book. And
my first foray into 9/11, truth and not, was that Implant Sight by the guy with the red cardigan. I've forgotten his name. But
Yeah. Von Kleist.
Yeah, that's all right. Dave Von Kleist. Yeah, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah, I tried to share that video with everyone that I knew that would watch. I'd have my laptop in my bag. I'm like, yo, you gotta see this video. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. Now, little did I know, I was showing them this info, right? I think I'm doing a good thing showing my friends look at this. You need to look at this, right? But all I'm doing.
I mean, he got the Pentagon thing right. I'm pretty sure that there was no plane hit the Pentagon, but he did it in Tucker Way, where it was a French expose, and so people wouldn't take it seriously. So I don't think he was
Hunt the Boeing. That was
the Boeing
article.
I don't think he was at any stage. Did he want to really get to the bottom of it? He was just all right. Just yes, planes. There was no plane there at the Pentagon, but he was saying pods under the planes that shot missiles into the towers or something before they hit, and things like that.
Now, I believe my first introduction to the whole no planes thing, it wasn't even fully no plane. It was that the theory that they switched the planes at the airport. Now, that always drew my attention because I'm here in Cleveland, and one of the planes allegedly landed over here at Hopkins Airport. And, they allegedly switched the people out and put them on a different plane. People were saying that was the plane that was shot down, right? The plane where they put all the people from all the other planes on the one plane and then shot that plane down, right? Mm-hmm. That was a theory out there. And I always thought, man, that seems kind of out there that they were switching planes or there was no actual planes at the site. So that was my first, hint that, okay, the plane crashes themselves. Those commercial flights did not crash at the spot they said, right? So obviously, initially, I'm like, all right, that's crazy, right? That's crazy talk.
Yeah.
And then the web theory. I think I saw some videos of hers, and they're talking about the physics of the whole plane crashing into the building and all that. I was like, yeah, that Paula Gloria lady.
Yeah, she was out there too, wasn't she? Yeah.
And was Nico Halp.
He was out there too. Yeah, just again. And then who did Blues Change? Who was that? That was that
Dylan Avery.
Dylan Avery.
But,
that's right.
But the guy who really changed my opinion and made it clear to me was the Gerard Holmes. Okay. When I read his article,
Gerard.
Yeah, before
the Australian.
Simon,
yeah, Gerard Holmes.
Gerard Holmes.
Both of those two are on the level. Those two are on the level. Straight down the line.
Sure. I came across Holmgren's information first, the articles that he read, and then shortly after that, I saw September Clues, and then it all came together. Okay, boom, now I get it. Now I understand how, the planes, not only were they not necessary, it's just something that, it just, it wouldn't, they didn't have to do that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, sure. Have you listened to Ab's interviews with Simon Shack? Well, there's three or four of them where they go for about 4 hours long. And
yeah, I've listened to
his eloquence and his theories are totally... I'm honored that I've got to chat to Simon Shack two or three times.
But
you were listening
a couple of hours ago, right? And we were talking about him and Boy and all of that. And I don't want to get back into it. But if you heard that, then you know my stance on where I stand.
And I was actually talking about when you were talking about the N-word, and that got a little bit.
All of that. But basically, I think Simon's work on September Clues and the Forum work, like, there's a lot of good work there. You can learn a lot.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
You have to keep your discernment, and you have to, I just wish he would make a new one, or someone would, make a new one.
I think he's past that, but I'd like another detail, like, because we've got the COVID-19 thing, bullshit story, scandemic. I know that Simon knows it's a scam, but, some more audios from Ab and Simon talking about COVID-19 and how it's going, you know, Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 would be, I'd like to listen to some more of that.
Well, it seems that Simon had pulled away once Ab started considering questioning the shape of the Earth.
Yeah, the Tychos thing. Yeah, I had no interest in that whatsoever, really. Frank's your man for that. He's more interested in that.
Well, I just mean it's just ironic that he comes out with this Tychos, but he kind of shunned Ab for questioning. You know, basically being a baller skeptic, right? Like, he kind of like, look, Ab, like, I don't, he basically didn't agree with him taking that angle, right? Which, that's fine. That's your prerogative, but then you come out with this Tychos model. Like,
I just know.
Why can't you just meet halfway? Like, I mean, because Ab is the biggest
thing. Egos colliding. Egos colliding a little bit. I don't know. I just prefer to stick to, either if we're going to talk, we're going to talk 9/11. I don't mind. Frank's got, he's a headset flat earther, and but Frank's got views on other things as well. So, definitely COVID-19 and splitting up my marriage and whatnot. I'm filthy on this thing, and if I see one more person QR coding to go into somewhere, I find myself hard to not get angry. Why are you going along with this? Like, this bullshit? Anyway.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I guess all you can do is just not pay attention to it, I guess. I don't know how. I know it's gotten pretty bad down in there, Australia.
Yeah, it's very addictive. I just posted what's in the box. Check that out in the live stream show notes. Or, no, in the general chat, sorry. What's in the box. Check that out. That's pretty. The Johnson & Johnson package insert for the experimental vaccine. It's just it's very interesting. Just see where I've written what's in the box. The one directly above is the video. Anyway, I think I'm a bit talked out, but it's been nice to catch up with Mark Manuel and yourself and Frank. Have a listen to Rick and Rollo from last night if you. Some spice.
Yeah, I was listening to that, the big audio from the other day, like the two-part long one. I was almost finished with that. Mm. Yeah, I was just in the middle of listening to that, and I decided, you know what? Let me sign up for this little Discord thing, because I just wanted to reach out to you guys and first let you know that, you know, I appreciate Ab putting this platform together, and I appreciate you, Rollo, because I know you've been here when it wasn't so popular to be here. And you've been here to kind of hold the fort down when it wasn't as jumping in here like it is now. You know, I don't want to come in here. Look, to anyone listening, I don't mean to come and start trouble or anything like that. You know, I said my piece and that'll be the end of it. And unless anyone wants me to address it further, they have any questions, you know, that's fine. I can answer that, but I'm not here with any type of agenda, except for just to build with you guys and share my thoughts.
Good to hear. And
yeah, it's nice to have a little soapbox, and it doesn't matter that, all right, maybe when you get, I don't know, well, 200 listeners, I don't know, it doesn't. It's more, you know, cathartic to let the frustration of some of these things out. And once you do that, it's like blowing your load, you know, type of thing, you know. Once you've got the release,
yeah, yeah.
You can,
yeah, I hear you.
You can,
I hear you.
You can chill out a bit. Yeah, chill out. Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. I just, yeah, you know, I don't want to give off the wrong impression. I'm going to start problems, you know, because...
But people, you know, always, you know, it depends on who you... If you get off on a bad start or whatever, first impressions are always... Like Ab tries to... When new voices come on, there's a first impressions are always lasting, and...
Right. So hopefully people heard me out, because I pretty much said what I had to say, and I didn't hold back any words, so... It is what it is.
You'll be right. You'll be right.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Wear a mask inside your home.
Thank you, Media Bear. And Ab interviewed that guy that wrote that song, which was a piss take on, what was the song from the 80s?
Anyway, oh, I'm not familiar. I don't know.
No, so I'm going to go and, I think, illegally download The Wire and watch it, because...
yes, please do.
Chill out for a bit.
Please do. It's worth it.
Thanks.
You will not regret it.
Yeah, well, thanks for the heads up. And now that I've been reminded of Boardwalk, because I'm so happy that Steve Buscemi never fixed his teeth. He kept his teeth all fucked up.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, because a lot of Hollywood actors, if you had teeth fucked up like that, you'd get them fixed. And he just, he didn't. He just left them the way they were.
Yeah, he
not that
acted rotten,
not that they're
rotten,
they're just crooked and shit. And
yeah, dude, he's a good actor, man. He really showed.
Do you remember Fargo? Fargo with him and Peter Stormare when they were the two hitmen.
Very vaguely. I don't really recall it, but I know they did a show off of that, based off of that movie.
That's a good show too. Well, the first season, the second season wasn't the best, but
I enjoyed the first one
with Billy Bob Thornton would be up there with one of my favorite actors. I would say. I like
Yeah,
Billy
he's
Bob
good.
Thornton. He was awesome in Sling Blade. I think he wrote and directed that himself. Billy, yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis is good too.
My brother taught his kids how to ski. Daniel Day-Lewis.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. My brother's a professional ski instructor, and
There Will Be Blood.
Oh yeah, I love that film. It was obviously based on the Rockefellers or something with the railways and the oil. Yeah, it was. He overacts a little bit, but I don't mind a bit of overacting, you know, if the guy can pull it off, and he pulls it off well. I thought it was
right. Yeah, and it's part of his style to really get into that character, you know.
I remember when he got his start in television. It was a show called Bergerac, and he had this tiny little role. And Daniel, this is 1980, so it's a long time ago, and He really didn't come into his own until the 90s. And, you know, with, what was that Indian film he was in?
Last of the Mohicans?
Yeah, Last of the Mohicans, you got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was good in that. And he's pretty much good in...
Yeah, he's real choosy. He doesn't do too many, so...
No, he doesn't. That's right. 2 years between each, pretty much.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be, though, does he? He played Lincoln, didn't he, in one of them?
Yeah. I refused to watch that because I just think Lincoln was probably one of the worst presidents, and he's regarded as one of the best. It's just like,
worse than Joe Biden? Come on. Come on, man.
These Joe Biden's not, like, shooting civilians, like, ordering people to turn the military on people, you know? Like, that's basically what... Lincoln did, right? You want us to see? All right, well, we're just going to bring the army down there.
Oh, sure.
So, I think he probably should.
So you think?
So you think John Wilkes Booth did us a favor then?
Yeah, I mean, how far back does this fakeology stuff go, right? Like, did that really happen, right? JFK really get shot?
Well, that fascinated me, that one, that murder, yeah.
Which one? JFK?
JFK, I mean,
yeah.
When I saw that film that Oliver Stone produced in, 1991, again, another gatekeeper, but, I mean, he didn't even hide he was a gatekeeper.
Yeah, I think that was
because they made
that
movie Dave.
Influential on me, too. That movie really, that was a game changer for me, too. Watching that JFK film.
Oh, yeah.
That planted a seed in my head, too. And
it was a good film, don't get me wrong, but there's so much, especially with the Zapruder footage, there's so much manipulation he did with that and putting gunshots over, and it makes no sense, the Zapruder footage. And
right, or the whole, her dress, she's got that dress on with no blood on it.
And now her elbow turns twice, like her elbow goes twice in size. Like, did you ever watch any of, or listen to Bill Cooper and his stuff?
You know, when he was saying that the driver shot
yeah, that's right.
I bought into that hook, line, and sinker. I'm like, whoa, he really did shoot him.
Yeah, you know? It certainly looked that way, doesn't it? Because the way the head wound looked.
The power of suggestion is real, I guess, because I really convinced myself that the driver did it. I'm like, no, it's the driver. I'm telling people the driver did it. So, I mean, I don't know. Like,
there was so much manipulation of that footage. So much manipulation of who's to know? It's the same as 9/11. The footage is so been tampered. It's like evidence tampering. You know,
it's creepy that like he favors Jimmy Carter, right? Like, I think that's kind of creepy. I'm not saying that Jimmy Carter, but I think it's kind of weird that they look alike like that. Like, that's
the peanut farmer, the one-termer.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
I don't know about that.
Well, that's a fact. He only served one term.
I'm saying I don't know about, like, I just
about him being JFK. Gotcha.
Thing. Yeah. I don't, like, that's just, I don't know what to think about that.
Yeah, some of those, this person is this person, or this person is, Frank's big into that, actually. You know, Jodie Foster and, Julia Gillard are the same, and, you know.
I think that's, I don't know, that seems a bit much.
It's called conspiracy candy, mate. Conspiracy candy, and it's just take it for what it is. It's entertainment, but a lot of it is. But there's no joke about COVID-19. That's the thing.
So,
I mean,
I definitely do think that, right? I think that is the only plausible model to explain how our political system works.
But you said Tony Blair and Tony Abbott were the same person.
I don't know about. Sorry, I do think that, but the key one that is the obvious one is Julia Gillard and who is it? Jodie Foster.
Yes.
I think that is just completely obvious.
I mean, I need to look at it again, but to me, I think there's more credence in the Jimmy Carter JFK one.
To me, that one's a no-brainer. And the other one is Lady Di and Theresa May.
I don't know who that is.
You know,
Theresa May was Prime Minister of England
the UK.
Way afterwards, when she got older. Look, me and Frank will always disagree on the Jodie Foster one. Well, I'll always disagree with
that
one.
I need to look at it again, but I don't think that one is, in my opinion, it's not as strong as the JFK and Jimmy Carter.
But the really fascinating thing about the Jodie Foster one and Julia Gillard is that Julia Gillard ends up living where Jodie Foster lives all the time.
Well, DJ did that video where he morphs her face in, and, you can see there is a similarity, but Jodie Foster's got a bum chin and Julia Gillard doesn't.
Hicks and Jones.
What do I think
but the teeth prove that's false.
Alex, Bill Hicks.
Yeah, I know. I know what you're talking about, but the teeth prove it.
Yeah, those guys you're just talking about two actors, so I don't really care if they're the same dude anyway. But I'm talking about the political process where people don't have to have a birth certificate to end up being elected to Parliament or to the U.S. Congress.
You know, that is about Barack Obama.
I'm talking about every single U.S. politician.
Mm-hmm.
They do not require anything other than someone to vouch for them to go into.
Well, I always thought it was odd. I was always someone that watched, you know, paid attention to the political process and the characters. Mm-hmm. Like, Obama just came out of nowhere. Like, the first I know, the 2004 speech, the DNC speech.
Before that,
I never heard of the guy.
Nah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm someone who watched CNN, fought, like, all day, every day. You know, like, that's what I did. I never heard of the guy until then.
Oh. And the, you remember the people, hearing like, about him before? I'll repeat over and over again. For a U.S. or an Australian or New Zealand or English person to enter Parliament, to be nominated as a candidate for Parliament, they require someone to nominate them. They don't have to demonstrate any personal status like their birth certificate or any such thing. It's not required. It's a ridiculous situation.
Well, right, listen clearly now. Listen clearly.
For a McDonald's job, they're going to ask for all of that, right?
No, it's still
listen
not.
Clearly, listen clearly, Frank.
There's no change.
Listen clearly, yeah. Frank. Now, how does no Barack change. Obama put it? I'm gonna just tell you.
We're not going to join the Flat Earth Society, is what he said. We are not going to have a meeting of the Flat Earth Society. Because if we do, people will find out the Earth is flat.
So, Frank, do you think that Michelle is Michael?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a man. That's a man, baby.
Yeah, I mean, he's been caught saying Michael and all of this stuff, you know.
Well, it's not cool. I think they do that deliberately. I don't think it's, they work off teleprompters, so I don't think there's any mistakes made there. It's like saying that Biden is making mistakes. He's got a teleprompter right in front of him. He's not making mistakes.
If Biden
that's what I was
faking.
Telling my buddy. I was like, this guy can't be this bad. He's got to be acting. He can't be this bad.
It's got to be acting.
He can't be this bad. He said, what did you say the other day? The AFT instead of the ATF?
Yeah,
like,
it's just...
You can't possibly make that kind of gaffe, right?
You cannot.
On purpose. Like, it has to be on purpose.
Yeah, that's my view.
I think we're all in agreement here.
Kind of like Bush. Oh. Like, Bush is not the guy he portrayed when he was the president.
Nothing
that's just
like
an act.
Yeah, when he was governor of Texas, he was compos mentis, and then he,
right?
Yeah, something changed. Yeah.
Then he just can't put a sentence together anymore, right?
I think that's
just part of the act.
Yeah,
he
doesn't
get enough credit for his acting job.
And the other great one in Australia was Christine Applegate playing this chick called Christine Milne, who was some green parliamentarian in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And Christine Milne's disappeared from Australia.
That one.
And gone back to, she's just disappeared. No one knows what's happened to Christine Milne.
Well, here's someone that we know that's LARPing for sure, is that politician from Arizona, right? The lady who says she got shot in the head or whatever?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like,
she was married to the
LARPing.
Astronaut. Yeah, she was married to the astronaut, right? Kelly or something?
Right.
David Kelly?
Like that. I don't know.
In my opinion, regardless of whether I'm right or wrong about Julia Gillard being, you know, whatever, it doesn't really matter. The point is that they are not who they say they are. They are people that are not responsible for the 4,500 pieces of legislation that were produced during Julia Gillard's time.
I hope you still got the audio of the night we had a fight about that. Like,
I haven't got it, but I would love it.
Oh, yeah, mate. I didn't hold back on you on that. But I've since met you. I've since come down to Geelong and met you in real life, and we've got over that. But
when you say that, I was saying this morning, I was still in shock. I mean, it was pretty full on, your trip down to Geelong, Rollo. You have to.
Oh, it was great. Oh, and you put on a good show with you and your mate, and
I got sacked on the night, but yeah.
I know, you were a little bit miffed about that. I don't blame you either.
No, it wasn't. Anyway, that's the idea is simply that actors, well, not really actors, but people are getting into American Congress, into the US, into the Australian Parliament under false pretenses that they don't have birth certificates, they don't have to show their proper identity. So we don't really know who they are. That's the point.
So, Frank, do you know that I'm going to court on the 17th about this COVID thing?
And your current plan
hopefully
is
hopefully I don't get the woman magistrate that just served 5 years, 8 months he's going to serve in jail.
What are you being accused of?
Ringing the COVID hotline. Harassment is exactly what I'm being accused of. Harassment.
Who got 5 years and 7 months?
That was Jared Hayne. But that was for rape, though. I mean, I've never raped anyone, so there you go.
Would have thought that I can't go out. Well, who knows?
It's pretty, they had, the evidence was pretty damning. The guy is out of control.
Yeah.
I liked the guy, Frank. I really did.
The guy that raped someone.
Yeah, I liked him. Yeah, he's a great footballer, and but he just his behaviour off camera is. Yeah, I think he's guilty from what I've read and the pictures I've seen. And
sorry, I'm not familiar with it at all.
Yeah, no, look, it's not a fakeologist subject, but anyway, I'm going to the same court on the 17th to again. Ask for a Section 32. I don't know whether I should do that. Frank, do you think I should just plead not guilty and ask for Anil Schwab and Bill Gates, Gil Bates?
I think you should get proper legal advice, brother.
Yeah.
Expensive. Get a very expensive person to represent you.
Well, I'm going to
defend
myself,
anything
Frank.
Different.
Frank,
anything
I hear
different.
You what you're saying. I'm going to defend myself. I know I've got a fool for a client, but there you go. I just don't trust. I don't trust criminal lawyers. I don't like them.
So what's the worst case scenario?
3 years jail.
Really?
Yeah. For harassment, for ringing the COVID hotline for more than 55 times, asking questions about this, that, and the other. And I
wow.
say
there's
this
no
every
way
single
they can
time.
Give you 3 years for that. I mean, I understand that's the guidelines you're falling under, but like, there's no way they can morally justify throwing you in a cage for any significant time for that, right?
Not, well, the state's against me. The state's on the side of COVID-19, so maybe they will trying to make an example out of me. I don't know, but
I hope not.
It's all about whether you're going to show genuine remorse or not, brother.
That's only if I plead guilty, and I'm not going to ever do that.
No, but even if you plead diminished responsibility.
With remorse for what? Remorse for asking questions? What remorse? I have none.
If you're going with a diminished responsibility on the basis that you were drunk.
Yes. Yeah, that's the tricky part. Yeah, I see.
If you're going to do that, but not mm-hmm. express remorse for your actions, then I think you're in trouble.
I know. It's a tricky situation.
You should just lie
things.
To them. Just tell them you're sorry, even though you're not.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mark. I'm not lying, though. I'm not going to do it. The mental gymnastics are going to be tricky, but I will...
Well, yeah, you can really be sorry. Just be sorry for a couple hours and then...
But I'm not sorry!
And you're admitting it publicly. Now you're admitting it publicly, which is also kind of really a bit odd, but okay. Well, cool. Now
I'm not sorry.
You're making it very hard for yourself, in my opinion.
I know. That's life. That's life. I mean, life wasn't meant to be easy, Frank. It wasn't meant to be hard either.
Even that I don't believe. I think life was meant to be easy. That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It just got tangled up along the way with Satan.
Yep. Hold that thought.
Hold that tiger.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, this is Laura Mars from The Jig Is Up, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Laura, she is a little cutie, she is. She gave Ab a very generous donation of $30. Yeah.
Tell Laura I need her.
Laura, yeah.
Tell Laura not to cry, my love for her.
She joined us on the Fart Podcast. Explain the Fart Podcast, where Mark Manuel and you remember that?
Sure, I know about the Fart Podcast.
Yeah, the Fakeologist Australian Roundtable, which is what the acronym stands for. Yeah, the Woogie Man. That's right. Sorry, man.
Yeah, I'm aware.
They invented the acronym first before they called
it. You sound like Boogeyman? Boogeyman. Do you know who you sound like? SMJ.
Yeah, that's funny. They were saying that earlier today.
You did sound very much like him.
Yeah, they had him
me
on
and
here
SMJ,
to make sure we
me and SMJ.
The same
sorry, mate, to talk over you. Me and SMJ are going to get in the ring one day and have a boxing match.
Yeah, that's what he was saying earlier today. You didn't hear him on here earlier?
No, I must have missed that bit.
He was on here earlier. We were talking. They wanted to make sure we weren't the same person, so they got him on here and we were talking.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It was nice to hear from him, and John Eric was here, and Frank was there. So
I'm still gonna beat the shit out of him when I get in the ring with him in the boxing ring. I'm gonna take him down. I'll even train for that.
You don't sound serious, but he kind of sounded serious. So I think
well, I said the N-word a few times, and I never said it at him. It was just. It's
right.
Just,
yeah.
He took offense. He took offense, and he shouldn't have. Because,
but
I think what the argument was afterwards was why aren't white people allowed to say that word? I mean, Quentin Tarantino in all his movies.
Yeah.
Plenty
like
of white people say
it. Everyone should be able to say whatever they want. Like, obviously, there's going to be consequences behind saying certain things if people don't appreciate it. But hey, look, I think let's not play games here. Like, look, if you're going to say it, like, then if one person can say it, then anyone can say it. But
well, let's call a spade a spade. And now you probably couldn't even get away with saying that these days. Let's call a spade a spade.
Sure, you should be able to. You should be able to.
Because we used to call black Americans spades.
Sure. But that doesn't necessarily, like, when I was saying it, that's not what I meant by it, in a figurative sense, right?
Yeah.
Calling a spade.
Look, weaponized language is just, it's such a minefield, weaponized language.
Sure.
Especially in the days that we live now.
So I think the best thing to do is to just call it even down the middle. Like, look, at least this is America. I'm in America right now, right? So
mm-hmm.
no one's
going to
tell me what I can or cannot say. Now, obviously, I'm going to be respectful to people. I'm not just going to call someone a name just because I can, because I'm in America, right?
Yeah. Yep.
You know, but I'm going to say whatever I have to say to get my point across.
No, I hear you clearly. That's what I like about America. One of our last bastions all right, so maybe a few people have got in charge there. Like I said, I didn't like George W. But I liked Ronald Reagan. The whole nuclear thing was a bit of a mess, and he had lost his mind at the end of his tenure. But Clinton,
all the way.
Yeah, I had a certain amount of respect for Clinton, but then that all went south. You know, all that Arkansas, you know, that, what was it? That bombing of that building where the facade fell down at the front. What was that? The Alfred P. Mura. That was impossible.
So I have a question for the both of you. Earlier we were talking about, do these presidents, are they hip to these fake shootings and these psyops? Do you think that they're hip to what's going on, or do you think they're none the wiser than the general public?
My opinion is that they have to be part of the program.
Go, Frank.
In my opinion, they have to be involved,
Hip to it?
Yeah.
I agree,
what do you think, Roland?
I'm not disagreeing with Frank for the sake of getting along, but I agree, yeah. They've got to be hip to this.
So even like one like Orlando, right? Like you think like Trump, Biden, Obama, you think they understand that, like, nobody died?
Yeah.
And that, or the Vegas one?
Yeah.
Stuff like that?
Yeah.
To become president, they've got to have something on you. And because you always got to be controlled. They can't have just someone going out saying anything old, any old.
Well, that's what they
stuff,
you know,
willy nilly.
Griggs. Yeah. You remember the Kay Griggs character, right? That lady.
That's right.
And basically, you know, she said that any of these military people that you see on TV are compromised,
mm-hmm.
in one way or the other. So
I
guess
I
it doesn't necessarily have to mean they're in on all of these psyops, but they're compromised one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've all just come all that way from birth. Their whole upbringing is about it. I don't think there's ever been a time when they're not batting for the other team.
So there's no pure politicians whatsoever in your mind, Frank.
Oh, there'll be some, but they, you know, they.
But they'll never get to the top.
But the key positions.
Yeah.
Like the generals.
All that stuff.
Stuff like that.
I mean, you know full well that you read all about, you know, this frustrated person. Oh, it never seemed right. The system was always rigged. That's because it's always rigged.
Yes, it is. Right.
You know, the guys that get to the top are obviously not the most competent people. It's just a fallacy.
Well, Joe Biden is the perfect example of, like, come on.
Right,
come
that's
on,
what I'm saying.
Man.
The two candidates we have to choose from over here in America is like...
They're ridiculous. It's comic book.
Donald Trump had exuded charisma and personality.
I'm dying.
He's awesome. Don't die on me yet, Frank.
He was the worst possible man you could have.
I think Biden's worse. I think Biden's even worse.
Yeah. Can you imagine Bill, not Bill Clinton, what was her name? Hillary for those 4 years when, I mean,
at least Biden is saying, I am going to close down the economy with all my stupid stuff. But the other bloke, the orange man, was saying, I'm going to revive America forever, and did everything exactly the same. Still made it close down. He still brought on the injections. He still did everything.
Well, he had anti-Fauci's
knife in his back. I mean,
the
official narrative
is
that he did revive the economy.
Why did he even have Anthony Fauci there, you know? Just sack the guy if he was genuine.
Yeah, good point.
The whole idea is that I'm here to save the American economy and I'm here to, because I don't like COVID and I'm, you know, I don't agree with Fauci. But nothing ever happened. In fact, he accelerated Project whatever it was called.
And he's promoting the vaccine. He's like, oh, yeah, you should get the vaccine. He's like, all right, well.
And he's promoting the fakery of it by saying that he got sick and all that stuff. Just, come on. Roller, come on. I'm asking you to just...
Yeah. I hear you. Clearly.
Have you ever heard the clips, though, of him questioning 9/11, like, immediately afterwards about the building collapses? What do you think about that?
Yeah, I was disappointing. When he was going for the 2016 election, he went on Alex Jones's show, and I didn't think... it wasn't satisfactory for me, but we're fakeologists, so we understand...
And in fairness, he says one thing one day, and then turns around and says the exact opposite the next day.
Well,
there are hundreds of
give
examples.
Give me an example of when Donald Trump did that. When did he do that?
Okay. I don't think the virus is real. Oh, I've got the virus.
Okay. All right, we'll have to find those pieces of audios, but there you go.
Frank, are you familiar with the 9/11 audio I'm talking about where he's questioning the collapse of the towers?
No, I haven't, because Donald Trump's a guy I've kind of avoided. He was on that show, the what's he jigger?
The Prince.
Have you got Trump deranged syndrome, Frank?
I have. I'm totally, you know, my disdain for the Donald Trump.
You don't
Trump
like the guy, it's fine.
Yeah. Was created by Back to the Future. When I saw him on Back to the Future... And then he turns up on my life. I just thought, oh, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, Biff Tannen.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is pretty
sickening. There are facts. I mean, Hollywood loved Trump back in the day. They really did. He was, all right, he didn't have any lead parts in movies, but he was like Home Alone, you know, he was in that. And, you know, Hollywood loved him. And then...
Well, why wouldn't they love him? He's part of the Saturday Night Live crew. You know, he's part of the furniture.
No. You're thinking of Alec Baldwin taking the piss out of him, are you?
No, I'm not. They're all part of Saturday Night Live. You know, the you know, the Grand Ole Opry and the Hall of Famers, they're all the same people.
Yeah, but they're all part of his group. What is it about him specifically? All right. He said one thing and the other, but what about his charisma and personality and all of that?
All he's done is use that charisma to destroy people, as far as I'm concerned.
Destroy who?
You know, if only, as they say on Maxwell Smart, if only he'd used his charisma for good instead of evil.
I don't know where you get the evil thing from, really.
Because he has sold American people down the swanee.
But he's just telling them what they want to hear.
Is that what it is?
So he's just providing a service.
His job is to take care of his sheep, isn't he? The role of government is to take care of the pasture, to take the flock. It's a bit like we had a bloke here called Bob Hawke, who was just the best mate of the working man, who was just an absolute bastard in the end. He completely sold the working people out by privatising their state-owned banks and floating the Australian dollar.
You maybe could put that at Paul Keating's feet more than Bob's. But
hang on, who was the guy in charge?
Yeah, I hear you clearly. And plus, he had all those problems with his daughter being a heroin addict at the time.
And he's a charismatic guy who just sold everybody out, as far as I could see. And what did he do to the pilots? He absolutely destroyed the pilot union. Those guys never recovered.
Well, what did you think about John Howard afterwards?
And the
tipping and the ports and that. He tried his ass off to destroy that, but, you know, Patrick Stevedore thing,
and he
tried his ass off, but they had more power than him.
What else did John Howard do? John Howard got behind the 9/11 hoax scam. He took guns out of people's hands.
Firstly, Frank, it was Port Arthur and getting us disarmed. So the police had guns and I know, it was awful.
It's just been one big scam after
that. It was a psyop. I mean, everyone knows that was a psyop. There's no way
why these people are popular, I do not know. And you see it again
I never liked John Howard. When Bob Hawke said, anyone who kicks him out for taking his day off in 1983 when we won the America's Cup is a bum. I mean, come on.
That was just completely disgusting?
What, him wearing that white, awesome-looking jacket and
supporting a millionaire's club, you know, what a ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Well, what about Bob Hawke when he was back in the 70s? He was head of the union movement. He looked after the workers then, didn't he?
Yeah.
I mean.
Well, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned,
He stopped drinking when he became Prime Minister. Bill Hayden said a drover's dog could run this country at the moment, you know.
As far as
he's a bit pissed off.
Your mate, Mr. Trump, are the absolute worst of worst.
Epitome of the worst.
The way they have fooled people is just awful. But apart from that, they're good guys.
Well, Frank, you get my vote. I mean, if Dan Andrews, when he eventually croaks, which I hope is soon, I want you to be the Victoria Premier.
Thank you.
You will get my vote. You will get my vote.
Thank you.
If I can vote for you.
Thank you, Ronnie.
I think you'd be a great Premier. I think you really would. Yeah.
Oh,
open the borders up. Allow, talk clearly and concisely about how this bloody lockdown things of how they've affected you, especially, you know, with your karaoke business. But you say that's not so bad at the moment, like they've eased up.
What do you guys think of your ex-president, Donald Trump, since I've been so harsh?
Yeah. Well, I don't really pay attention, you know, on a serious level. I just know the sound bites, the little sound bites that I would hear from him. It seemed like he was saying the right things, right? Now, obviously, that's what politicians do. They'll tell you one thing and do another. But to me, on the surface, it seemed like he was more for the people than any other president I've seen before him. Now, does that mean that he's that it's true what he's saying or that he's going to follow through? No, but he talked a good game.
He did.
To me, it's clear Biden is just a China puppet. Like
Biden running around everywhere trying to say that I'm the man. And then did you see him try to get up those stairs on Air Force One in a hurry? And
right. How does that footage even leak out? Like, couldn't they?
It was so good. Yeah.
Did you see the analysis of the fact that he tripped on the ninth stair and the 11th stair?
Oh my goodness.
Really? Man. That's interesting.
I enjoyed all that stuff.
Mm. Is that true? Was it really? Is that true?
He tripped on the ninth stair and the 11th stair or something like that.
Wow, that's amazing. Is it coincidence? That's coincidence theory. Quinky
so dink, I guess it comes into, okay, is that scripted or is this like a mind control type scenario where these people aren't even really control over their own, you know, like, is he a robot, right?
Yeah, no, I don't go with the robot idea, but that's okay.
Or the fact that he's not actually at the White House, like they're green screening some of this stuff.
That sort of thing, yeah.
All right. I think that's how about I ask you this question, Boogeyman? What about Hunter Biden and the whole laptop thing being swept under the rug and that? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't really know what to think. It's kind of like the whole Pizzagate thing, right? It's like, where does the truth start and the fiction end, right? Like, because we know that there's some type of...
I'll make the question. Yeah, look, sorry to talk over you. Look, I'll make the question easier for you. What do you think of Chris Wallace's effort in the first debate with Biden and Trump? Chris Wallace from Fox.
I mean, I think it was clearly like show, right? Like he played favoritism to Biden. Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah. That's what I'm alluding to, yeah. But yeah.
Sure, yeah, yeah. He played favoritism, but that's all his show. Like, the three of them are all in it together, right?
Hold it.
This is Jeff Sand, dude.
Laura Mars.
The Phoenician.
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio at fakeologist.com.
Yeah, it's Joe here with Rollo, the Boogeyman, and Frank. And that's the salt. Mark Manuel's left us. Without saying goodbye, but there you go. Keep going. So yeah, so Joe Biden, it was a shit show. I don't think Chris Wallace gave him remotely a chance, and he still won the debate in my humble opinion.
Not a legit debate, right? Like, it's theater, right?
Hmm. Yeah, when they don't let them, I mean, but Trump tried to do the back and forth thing as best he could, but without being shut down, they were turning his mic off. I mean, that's unfair. Shouldn't be doing that.
So kind of like an exhibition, like where boxers, they'll like go like 75%. They won't go 100%. Because Biden could or Trump could have crushed him, right? But he chose not to because that's not part of the script.
It makes him look bad because he's beating up on an old man who you can't string a sentence together without fluffing. Every second fucking word that guy cannot ask him to say the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. He couldn't do it.
That's the part I don't understand on why people would choose him, because it's obviously superficial. Like, you pick in one of these two guys, it's a superficial choice, whether you like it or not. So why would you, for the life of me, I can't understand why people would choose Biden if they really think they're under the impression that their vote counts. Like, how can he be the lesser of two evils? I don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, clearly. He's the leader of the free world, and stuck with him until you run for president.
Joe Biden?
You gonna run? No, you. You run for president. Come on.
Well, I know, but he's not really. I mean, who's really pulling the strings here? It's not really Joe Biden, right?
Got to be pulled up. That's right. Yeah. Oh,
And obviously, it's probably not Kamala Harris either, right?
All is, yeah, Kamala Harris. Oh, don't get me started on her, but the cackling witch. He's got all his anecdotes, you know, about when he was a kid at Scranton and all that. I mean, they're all plagiarized. Everything, like, his whole life is a lie.
Yeah, Joe Biden is a joke. Like, he's been a joke. So I don't understand. People are literally, like, under mass hypnosis, it seems like. Mm-hmm. Because this guy's a complete clown.
Yep.
Now he's turned into a creepy old man. He used to be a clown. Now he's
to the kids. Where they've got that video footage of him, you could play with my hairy legs or something. Oh my god!
Yeah, what a creep! This guy's a creepazoid.
Oh yeah, creepazoid. Yeah.
So I mean, I don't understand how my friends can give this guy a pass and say he's the lesser of two evils. I don't get it. You know.
Well, dude, I mean, my wife gives COVID-19 a pass, and that's why we had a falling out over, you know, those QR code and doing all those sort of things. And, that's the thing that's really, really affected me personally. Losing my wife over this COVID-19 thing makes me feel, tied in
so
a double knot.
So you haven't come to a resolution with her? You haven't resolved your differences?
I'm trying to work on it, but... obstacles come up time after time when we're out in public. You know, I just don't cope well. I just don't cope well with all the restrictions and this, that, and the other. And I just don't cope well.
I've pretty much isolated myself this year. I haven't really been anywhere. So, yeah, it's been rough. But luckily I got my dog.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of
walks.
Yeah,
what's your dog's name?
Mia.
What's the dog's name? Mia.
Mia.
And what breed is she?
Well, I think she's a black lab mixed with a Jack Russell. So she looks like a small little black lab.
Well, throw a picture into the live stream show notes. I'd like to see a picture of Mia.
Yeah, there's a picture in there. I threw one in there.
All right.
As I'm scooting, I'm going to mow the lawn. Bye.
You're going to go mow the lawn? Good boy. Nice
to
talk to you, Frank.
It's pitch black here.
Bye.
All right, mate. See ya. So I might head out too. I might go and do the Mother's Day thing, even though my mother died
a week ago.
But I'll do it with my.
I think I'm gonna drive over and visit my mother later today.
Do it. Give her a big hug from me.
For sure.
Nice to talk to you, Boogeyman. Yeah, it's been great chat. And next time we chat. I'll have watched all three seasons of The Wire, and I'll...
There's actually five of them, but
it's five,
watch as much as you can watch.
Yeah.
The last season is where they get into the media fakery angle there at the end.
Do they? Yes.
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm going to have to sail the high seas. I'm going to have to sail the high seas to get it, but HBO Max can cope with it without another $5. I'm not signing up for another streaming service. I'm just not doing it.
I hear you. You'll be able to find it somewhere. It's very popular. So.
Yeah. I'll find it. I guarantee you I will. I'm good at that.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. Mate. Cheers.
All right. Have a good one.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
That's all, folks.